Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast for week of March 21st, 2011. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Joe.
Cowabunga!
And Chris.
Ninja, a vanish!
Go, ninja, go, ninja, go! So, we'll get that later. But, I think we got a good show. We got a bunch of news to talk about. We got,
Shit's going down, bitches.
So, why don't we kick it off with show and tell this week? And, so, Joe, did you watch anything last week?
Man, this whole week has been a blur as far as
I hear that.
That I've watched. I'm sure I've seen something, but I can't fucking recall.
Did you? Oh, I saw you tweet that you finally watched the first episode of Justified Season 2 on Hulu.
Yes, that's right, and I was severely disappointed. It just seemed like a bit of a letdown, but I'm hoping that this season just needs to pick up a little bit.
The first episode was very setup-y.
That's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that it's one of those, like, prologue-type episodes where it's like, hey, this is what's going to be going on for the rest of the season. But now I could actually watch my DVR'd episodes of Season 2. So hopefully by the next podcast I'll be caught up with the season and be able to talk about some shiznack. I also need to get caught up on Californication because I've missed the last four episodes. I mean, they're all recorded, but I'm just a huge twat and haven't watched them. In addition, I've been watching Lights Out. That's like the only thing that I'm current with. And, it's been up and down for me, honestly. It feels like you're watching a show based off of Grand Theft Auto. Like, not in the sense that you could go around and kill hookers and steal cars, but just like the story and like the characters that you meet and like the mission type stuff that happens.
It's like they just got rid of Lights just got done with the Ed Romeo missions or something.
That's exactly it. Like, that's exactly what it feels like to me. Like, especially the episode where it has to go and, like, cage fight Boss Rutan.
Yep.
Who obviously isn't playing Boss Rutan. He's just, like, bodyguard number one. But fucking Boss looking jacked, by the way, folks. You know, it just has that GTA sort of, like, Claude from GTA 3 kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's enough of that. It's been good. I'm hoping for a strong finish. Not sure if there is going to be a second season, but if there is, I, you know, wish it well and hope that it continues it to, you know, deliver the goods, as they say. What I did watch that was a standout this week was UFC from Newark, New Jersey, which I was not in attendance of because I don't have that kind of fucking money. Think I am. I did watch it on pay-per-view, however, and it was a pretty solid night of fights. I was very, very, very heartbroken by Mirko Krokop's loss to Brandon Schaub. Brandon Schaub is a hell of a fighter. I think he's going to be a real heavyweight contender, but I mean, Krokop, to me, is up there with Fedor and Wanderlei Silva and Rampage as, like, you know, the faces of Pride FC. You know, the gone but not forgotten Pride fighting championships. Mm-hmm. Krokop was at a time the baddest motherfucker on the planet and was just dropping fools with that left high kick. And, you know, he was dominating. I won't say dominating, but he was winning the first two rounds. And with about just under 2 minutes left in the last round, he went to set up a high kick. And as soon as he dropped his lead hand, it's very clear that Brendan Schaub's camp drilled this into him, because you see as soon as he drops his lead hand to set up the left high kick, he just launched a fucking bar fight punch right into Krokop's face. Like, he just threw all his weight into it, and it was the sort of thing where it's like Superman punching Doomsday. Like, whoever connects first is going to be the one who wins. And it wound up being Brandon Schaub. So I think this fight showed that Krokop still has, you know, a hell of a lot of fight in him. I mean, he's fighting guys in this heavyweight division that are significantly younger and bigger than him. So I think that if Krokop is going to stick around, because he's too proud to retire, I truly think that. I think with the UFC having just bought Strikeforce, which, by the way, that's fucking huge, people. Like, think about that. The UFC now basically owns all of the other top fighters that they don't have under contract. So that's pretty exciting, and I'm actually thinking of writing something about that for the site, so keep your eyes open for that. But, yeah, like, with Krokop, now he can move down, so to speak, to Strikeforce and be a heavyweight there, where there are some fights in that heavyweight division that would make sense for him. Or if, and I hope this is what we see, he could drop down to light heavyweight and fight at 205 pounds because he is a small heavyweight. You know, he came into that fight at only 230 pounds about, so he could easily make the 205 pound weight limit for light heavyweight. And I think there could be some very entertaining fights in the UFC with Krokop at light heavyweight. But digress. We'll see what happens, and I wish Mirko the best. The main event of the night is obviously what everyone wants to know about, Shogun versus Johnny Bones Jones for the UFC light heavyweight championship. And side note, Johnny Bones Jones apparently is like Black Panther and The Flash and Aquaman because he chased down a robber in Newark at 5 p.m., which is only like a few hours before his championship fight. And he chased this dude down and leg sweeped him. And then his trainer, Greg Jackson, is yelling, "Get off him! Get off him! You have championship fight tonight!" So there's a picture by Tracy Lee online of Greg Jackson like sitting on top of the guy with like John Jones like holding his leg in like an ankle lock. It's actually pretty hilarious. But anyway, for the fight, he went on to more or less humiliate Shogun Hua, which anyone who's a fan of Shogun or a fan of Pride especially knows what a monster Shogun is and knows how dominant he can be. I mean, for Christ's sakes, he basically just dismantled Lyoto Machida in their last fight. And for a while, people were saying that Lyoto Machida looked unstoppable and like fucking bulletproof. And Shogun went in there and dominated him. And the tables were turned on him in this fight. I am a Shogun fan, but it's hard not to root for John Jones. He's got an awesome story, a great attitude, and he's a year older than me. So I think that's pretty fucking cool. He wound up winning in the third round. You know, a ref stoppage due to strikes. There's some controversy about whether or not Shogun tapped due to strikes. In the long run, it doesn't really matter because he lost the belt. The next fight is very, very interesting. It's going to be Rashad Evans against John Bones Jones. Former training partners, good friends, and both under Greg Jackson's MMA camp. What's very, very, very strange about this is that upon this fight being set up, Rashad Evans more or less fired Greg Jackson's training camp, saying that he was pissed that he brought John Jones onto the team to begin with, and that I guess to a certain degree he felt like they stopped investing as much in him and focused too much on John Jones. So now he's moving camps, and Greg Jackson and all those guys are kind of torn now because they don't want to coach against Rashad because they're all still friends, but by that same token they're not technically on the same team anymore, and it would be kind of fucked up in my opinion to just leave John Jones without the people that got him to where he is. So we'll see how all this unfolds, but more or less, it was a great night of fights. Uriah Faber and Eddie Wineland both made their UFC debuts, and as expected, that fight did not disappoint. But also, as expected, Uriah Faber had a very, very strong showing, and you know, as he said, "Hide your kids, hide your wife," because he is now in the UFC on the world's biggest MMA stage.
So that's it, Joe?
Yeah, 2 hours later, that's my UFC recap.
And I know, Chris, you were watching Code and Spackle Dry, so you didn't really watch anything last week, right?
Yeah, I was either coding or spackling, but I did manage to do a few things between that and, like, pretending to be Irish on St. Paddy's Day and, you know, trying to find the mystery perp who broke my wall. I was watching, like, Rocko's Modern Life. They just put all, like, 4 seasons up. So I'm just kind of, like, browsing through that. Like, before I go to bed, I'll play, like, an episode or two.
That show was weird.
I just realized, yeah, it's a weird show. Like, I totally forgot how bizarre it is. Like, as a kid, you're not really used to seeing, like, adult themes or just, like, the subtleties of, like, the dialogue.
Yeah, like Rocko used to work at, like, a phone sex line.
Yep. And his next-door neighbor was a giant, like, perv that was always hinting that they should have sex while, like, her husband was at work and stuff. And,
I forgot.
It really blew my mind. Like, I just, like, wow, they got away with, like, ballsy. Like, now I'm thinking about today, like, that's nothing. But back then, back when, like, censorship was kind of, like, it was just, like, random. You know, Rocko got away with it for, like, 3 or 4 years. And I was really like, whoa. Could not believe how crazy of a show this is.
I mean, that was the same era where people thought that Beavis and Butthead were going to, like, ruin our nation's youth. And really, all they were doing was, like, farting and laughing.
Like, making fun of shitty music videos. Like, that
exactly.
That was it. That was, like, almost more educational than it was for, like, Rocko's Modern Life. I was just like, if I see a wallaby, just, like, I don't want to be friends with it.
Touche.
And I finally got to beat Bioshock 2. I did that, like, Sunday morning. I was able to, like, no, Sunday afternoon after I came back. It was done after watching Spackle dry. Bioshock 2, I was a big fan of the first game. Joe knows that. It was only, like, an Xbox exclusive, right?
Yeah, but then it became, like, PS3 and PC.
And it sold, like, 4 copies on PS3.
Hey, because by then everyone had it or played it on
PC. I bought a PS3.
Or had watched it been played, you know?
Right. It's still, like, a good game. The sequel, though, is more confusing. And I beat the second one because I bought it on sale or, like, as closeout prices from Blockbuster.
Nice.
And it's still an amazing game for a closeout price. I paid full price for the original Bioshock, and it was, like, a good game. I milked the crap out of that first game. So the sequel, I just kind of, like, took my pace, but I still ended up beating it I beat this game pretty damn fast, and I was like, okay, maybe because, like, I'm just more skilled than I was, like, 3 years ago, but I was still kind of like, all right, well, that was enjoyable. Bring on, like, Bioshock Infinity.
Yeah.
The more crazy, like, it takes place in 1912. We're like, wait, what? Why?
In the sky.
Nothing fun happened. Yeah, in the sky. Like, I guess it's a logical, like, precursor to underwater.
Yeah. Well, I heard there's, like, an awesome, like, expansion pack for Bioshock 2. We have to, like, go in, like, the computer center of Rapture.
Oh,
I can't remember the name of it.
Something's Den.
Minerva's Den.
Yeah, Something's Den. Minerva's Den. And it's just like, you just play as Big Daddies. Like, you play as Subject, like Sigma. That's it. You play as Subject Sigma. And you're trying to figure out, like, why you're Subject Sigma. I do like the fact that you're, like, a Big Daddy in this game, but it's just not the same as the first game. I don't know, like, if they made a movie about Bioshock, like, there's so much material there that they can do it, but, you know, if they do it, I hope like, someone played the game beforehand, not just make some, like, Super Mario Brothers movie, where they just looked at box art and went, okay,
like,
this is what we're
doing. Not like David O'Russell's insane Uncharted plan, whatever the hell he's doing.
Yep. Actually, the guy who was going to produce, the guy who's making Pirates of the Caribbean, he was going to do Bioshock,
like,
but he dropped out of it. Yeah, and,
I haven't really heard anything after that, but
yeah, it went to, like, limbo of, like, movie hell. Just tractors come in and out and in, and just like, all right, here's a script, and like, oh, this is terrible. Why is this happening? Did you not play the game? It's like, nope, they threw a bunch of money at me, and I came up with the script. So, I just know, like, most movie related games or game related movies. They do terrible if it's a full-length feature, but they do okay when it's, like, a, like, straight to DVD, like, cartoon or something.
Kinda,
or CGI.
Yeah.
Like, the Dante's Inferno, like, the anime, was okay. I didn't hear anything that bad where it's like, they burn all the CDs and it's like, let's never talk about this again. The Dead Space cartoons, they're decent. They weren't like...
Yeah, the first one was okay.
It's not like I want to watch it twice, you know? It's just like, I watched it, I was like, okay, that was good.
Dead Space is so insane, just like the amount of backstory it has.
Right, there was like all this religious thing and all these like technology factors that they throw in together, they mush it, and the movie was kind of like trying to like, you know, kind of sweeping through all the subjects real fast, and that's fine because it's supposed to make you play the game. Like, it's supposed to be like, all right, well, you know, if you didn't play the game, this is trying to lure you into it. But remember the Halo Legends was supposed to try to do that, and it really didn't. It kind of like brought people like, I'm confused. They're like, what's going on? Who is this?
And it was like crazy anime companies. It's like, it's Master Chief, but he's in a field of flowers and he's meditating about the art of war.
Yes, it's like, what is it? Six different.
It was like Animatrix. Studios.
Yeah, the Animatrix was okay. I didn't watch all of them. I just remember watching one of them, and I don't remember.
I like the prequel one and like the history one. We're told the history of the war.
Oh yeah. Where like the robots were like
they make their own nation and stuff, and like they try to get into the UN, and you know, it was like, no, you're robots.
Right, but like that was almost like an iRobot story. I don't know how like the humans lost that bad that now we're batteries. Like,
well,
I don't,
because, like, the robots like evolved into like the squids and like, I don't. They like made themselves like even better than the, because before they were just like, we're like classic robots that walk towards you, and we're like, we used to clean your house. They just like turned themselves into like killing machines.
That's a natural progression. Yeah. I mean, first it's just like docile, laughable things. Then we make them to like sex machines, and then they get pissed. And we upgrade them to things with rockets and spikes, and then, you know, they turn on us. Yeah.
We blow up the sky.
They blow up the sky, whatever. It's our fault, but whatever. We're too dumb to know this.
And then there's like the CG one, which is like Flay of the Osiris. Last Flay of the Osiris.
I saw that. Like it's kind of like the same art style from Final Fantasy, the Spirit Within. Yep.
So, yeah, that was a tangent.
Yep. But at least it covers up for what I didn't do.
Yeah, that's like as much you talk as usual, Chris, about Show and Tell.
Yeah, same proper length.
I managed to watch a bunch of stuff. Usually when I was like trying to recover from the night before this weekend.
Oh, you party animal.
Especially like Thursday, like Friday afternoon. Because I don't remember anything that happened Thursday really, but...
Do you remember me buying you beer?
Someone said that. I was like, Chris bought me a beer? What?
Funny story. So Zach's trying to decide if $2, if he should spend more money on beer, and I just buy him beer, and he's just like, this was a good investment. I'm like, you didn't buy this, Zach. I bought you. He was like, fuck, forget it. I'm not even, enjoy your beer, Zach. Whatever.
What? See?
Yeah, it was.
See, sensing some hostility.
Like, I remember, like, leaving your apartment, and then, like, probably an hour into the bar, and that was it.
That's what happens.
Yeah, it's St. Patrick's Day, so.
You time travel. You're the time traveler's wife, or husband, whatever.
I'm Eric Bana.
Yeah.
What's all that rustling, Chris?
Time.
Are you, like, digging through your drawers or something?
Yeah.
Okay, because we can hear it, but. Anyway, so I watched a bunch of stuff. The first thing I watched was I found seasons 1 and 2 of Tales from the Crypt at Best Buy for $20.
Nice. I actually saw your tweet about that and was very happy
for you.
So
I was like, this is a must buy. So I watched all of season 1, which is actually, I didn't realize it was only 6 episodes. I guess they were like trying to see if it would work or not. And apparently it did, because I think it went on for like at least 7 or so. But yeah, the first season, like the first episode's kind of weird, but then it really gets into its stride like in the second episode. Because the first episode has like Bill Sadler starring in it. If you remember, he's like Death from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey and other things. And it's him.
Hello?
Huh?
Lost in space?
Wait, can you guys hear me?
I just lost you for like
is that
10 full seconds.
Okay, so...
Bill Sadler, and then you went
okay,
away.
Okay, so I'll figure it out. Or we'll just like leave it in. But so Bill Sadler, sure. If you remember, he was Death from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Okay.
Yeah, and he stars in the first episode of Tales from the Crypt, and he's like he's like the guy who throws the switch for the electric chair. And it's like it's just basically just him like narrating like just like crazy shit about like, you know, crime in this country. People, he's just like saying, or like, people go in the electric chair. A lot of times they beg. A lot of times they cry. Doesn't matter when I throw a switch. So it's just like him talking to the camera for the entire episode. Then he decides, because he gets fired, because the death penalty gets revoked in the state. He becomes like a bounty hunter, like a freelance, just like executioner. It's like a vigilante, just like going around like electrocuting people.
That's what I'm going to do.
Like what, a car battery?
Yeah, with a car battery.
Like,
The one, like, he kills one guy by, like, hooking, like, the wires up to a fence, and then when the guy puts his key in to unlock the door, like, it shocks him and kills him.
Well done.
This guy really likes frying
people. He does. Until he gets fried himself.
Ah.
Because he gets caught. And then, other great episodes, there's, the one with Joey Pantoliano, where he's, like, all the way because he's undying, because signs up for this experiment where he gets, like, the 9 lives of a cat injected into him.
You can do that?
He can just, inject it into
him. Yeah, this scientist is like, I figured out...
We're going to put cat blood
this
in
crazy
him.
German scientist is like, I have figured out that where the cat's 9 lives reside in the brain, so I'm going to put them in your brain.
Always has to be the crazy German scientist.
Yeah. So then he joins this, like, a sideshow show as, like... He will actually die on stage, and then come back.
That's what you call a magic show.
But, like, he gets, like, shot, and, like, they shoot him with an arrow and hang him and drown him and stuff.
Sounds like a Danzig music video.
It's got, like, a bunch of, like, crazy, like, side... It's just, like, there's a lot of, like, fish islands in that one and stuff. It's directed by,
Sweet.
Richard Donner.
Nice.
Like from Superman fame?
He's one of like the executive producers of the show. Like him and Robert Zemeckis. Then of course there's like the classic like Christmas episode where like the evil homicidal Santa just like tries to kill this lady.
Yeah, they don't have that these days.
Classic episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, besides like that Christmas the one that like was Santa Claus that was like Bill Goldberg was the...
Santa Slay.
Santa Slay, that was it.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, I guess.
Garbage Day. That was two.
Yeah. But come on. You can't think of Silent Night, Deadly Night without thinking of Garbage Day.
And Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is pretty much one, because it just, like... it was, like, 50%... It was, like, 60% footage from one. Like, 40% footage.
Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is madness. This is Garbage Day.
Also, the Crypt Keeper is kind of restrained for the first couple episodes.
Well, yeah, he didn't really get like cuckoo bananas until season 2.
Yeah. Like that's when he's like started dressing up and like
yeah.
But the puns were still intact though for a little like not as crazy as the like not like every other word.
Absolutely.
Every other word was not a pun in the first season, but
yeah,
it was just there by the end. like even on the back of the box, it's just like the season 2 box is like
totally
settle in with these devious diamonds of diabolical delight.
He's using alliteration.
Yes. And I can't wait, like season 2, I'm gonna probably start watching that this week. But it's got the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger directed it.
Ah, beautiful.
And then he like shows up the intro and the outro. He's like, "Damn, Crypt Keeper, you're such a girly man. Why don't you bulk up?" Sounds great. And then, let's see what else I watch. I watched Broken Arrow on A&E Saturday afternoon. Which, right in the middle of the John Woo movies. Like, it's not as bad as, like, Paycheck or Windtalkers, but it's definitely not anywhere near as good as, like, Hard Boiled or The Killer.
Oh, John Woo directed Windtalkers?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Excited because it was like, oh man, John Woo was going to war. And I was just like, okay. This is just a mediocre war movie.
But can it stand up to Hard Target?
No. Or Face Off.
Okay. Face Off.
I want to
take his face. Take his face. Put it on mine.
Actual dialogue alert.
I'm Cassius Troy!
Oh, God.
Yeah, Broken Arrow, like, you get the master thespian Howie Long in one of his first acting roles, I think. Yeah, John Travolta acting just, it's like, I think he's practicing for Battlefield Earth, because he had, like, this, like, crazy accent and stuff. And also, one of the few movies to take place in, like, one of the few action movies to take place in, like, I think it's, like, Utah or something. Some, like, some national park or something.
It wasn't a park, it was a giant strip of desert.
Yeah, it was like a desert park. So it's somewhere in the west, somewhere in the southwest.
In a remote desert.
It's a very unique setting for an action movie.
Before, like, you know, Operation, I don't know, Iraq War and stuff. They don't see so many desert-like movies there.
I guess, yeah. Also, Christian Slater.
Before he got,
in
like,
his last role.
His last role. Before he disappeared into, like, a little dark.
Yeah, before he was sucked into the same, before he was sucked into the same oblivion that swallowed up Alicia Silverstone.
Yep. It's like, come on, you were in true romance, Christian Slater. Come on. But anyway, a funny thing about that movie is like,
good God.
The main characters like don't even introduce themselves until the end, which I think is kind of funny. If you remember, like Christian Slater like bumps into like Samantha Mathis. And she's like the park ranger, and like they get to the end of the movie. And it's like, oh yeah, my name is whatever. They're like, nice to meet you. Like at the end of the movie.
I didn't know that. I thought they kind of knew each other by the time they got kidnapped, and then they escaped the nuclear blast.
I think so,
and...
but like they never introduce each other. They're just like, I'm with the Air Force. I'm a park ranger. Okay, let's go.
What are we talking about, Broken Arrow still, or are we talking about True Romance?
No, Broken Arrow.
I know.
I forgot, how did Howie Long get an acting career from this? He was on like three fucking movies, and they're not that great.
Was it Firestarter?
Firestorm,
yeah, where it was like he fights fire with fire.
Yeah. He literally is a firefighter.
He's like a parachute firefighter, though. He jumps out of planes in the forest fires.
Which is
a great way to put out fires. Just jump right into it with a parachute.
And a bucket.
And a single, like, super soaker.
The premise of that movie was so bad. I just remember I was like, even as a kid, I was like, this is a terrible movie, but I paid money to watch it, so whatever.
Then he got into those Radio Shack commercials.
Yep.
So that was
it really resurrected his career.
Before he got into Fox NFL. Yeah, so I watched that, and, on Saturday afternoon, after Broken Arrow, because Brian was taking a nap, so we went to Paul.
Sweet. What did you think?
We both thought it was pretty good. Like, it's got horrible reviews for some reason, but, like, it was funny. It's not going to, like, reinvent comedy as we know it, but it's still funny.
That's all that matters.
Great, like, nerdy references and stuff. So if you're a nerd or a geek, you'll enjoy it. Like, the first, the, like, starts out at Comic-Con, so that pretty much gives you like an idea of like where this movie is.
Sweet.
It knows his audience. Yeah. So.
Yeah, seriously, that's so valuable, though.
You're constantly referencing Star Wars and E.T. and Predator and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Like, all any movie that has, like, an aliens in it, they pretty much reference it.
Yeah, I saw in the trailer when they reference E.T. with the Reese's Pieces. Yep. It was pretty funny.
Yo, give me some Reese's Pieces.
By the way, how fucking good are Reese's Pieces?
They are good.
They are fucking great, and you never see them anymore. Well, I think died with the 90s.
M&M peanut butter took over.
Oh, I know. What the shit? It's not the same. No. I want Reese's Pieces. Man.
Reese's Pieces. Reese's Pieces. Reese's Pieces.
Hey, a piece of candy.
Yeah. Actually, Paul, Kristen Wiig pretty much steals the show for that movie.
Really? She's not even, like, mentioned so much in the trailer.
She's so funny.
Like, yeah, which is weird, because, like, she's... they give her these horrible things to do on SNL. But, like, everything else she's hilarious in.
She was, like, the one good part of MacGruber, I thought. Which is saying a lot, by the way. Oh, no, you don't.
It's not that bad.
Oh, no, it's bad. I wanted to like it. And I couldn't bring myself to liking it. It was terrible.
It was terrible. Yeah, Kristen Wiig is, like, in Paul. She's, like, this super religious, like, trailer park. She's, like, the daughter of this guy who owns the trailer park. They stay at it for a night. And then Paul, like, accidentally, like, mind melds with her. And she, like, gives her, like, all of his, like, life experience. So she becomes, like, this, like, super, like, I'm going to go fornicate and swear and drink and smoke and...
Nice.
So then she doesn't know how to swear. She just, like, puts, like, random swear words together. She's like, sweet titty ass balls, fuck. She does that for the entire movie. And then, like, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are doing pretty much their usual thing, which is great.
Yeah, the cops fighting zombies, hunting aliens, whatever.
There's nerds. Like, Nick Frost is, like, an author, and Simon Pegg is, like, a artist, and they're like trying to write this like sci-fi novel together. Which there's like one of the other great running jokes in the movie is like they go to Comic-Con and show like their favorite sci-fi author Adam Shadowchild this like their rough draft of their book, and Adam Shadowchild is played by Jeffrey Tambor. He's like super, he's like, a huge dick, and then like for the rest of the movie like they keep like saying like they met Adam Shadowchild and everyone's like who? They like list off like three or four like ridiculous sci-fi titles. Like, Jenny Saturn and the Moons of Venus. And then, Jason Bateman is great in it. He's, like, this, like, super, like, icy badass. Like, completely serious. But then he gets, like, saddled up with, Bill Hader and Joe Latruglio as, like, these two, like, just, like, completely incompetent FBI agents.
Yeah, they seem like that in the trailer. Yeah.
Like, when Jason Bateman, like, first finds them, like, they're playing hide-and-seek on this, like, they're supposed to be doing, like, a roadblock. And Seth Rogen's great as Paul.
You don't even see his face.
No, but actually, like, Paul, like, the special effects for Paul are, like, super, super well done.
It
seems like he's like actually like, in there. Like it's like he's actually like, interacting with them and stuff.
So yeah, I definitely want to see it, but like no one wants to see it with me.
It didn't do very well at the box office either.
I know. I should probably go see it like this weekend or something.
Yeah.
Take my lonely ass to the movies. Sit in the back alone watching Paul. A fucking freak.
Just like yellow. I like Star Wars, yeah.
Or just sit there giggling. Reese's Pieces.
But yeah, if you're like a fan of like nerd humor, or like love Star Wars and comics and all that stuff, sci-fi, you'll probably enjoy Paul. And then the last thing I watched, I actually watched it today. It's actually the. Let's see, is it 20? Yeah, 25th anniversary this week. And that is, I watched Rad.
Oh, God.
The 80s BMX classic.
Yeah, like I said before, those are not, that should not be a category.
A genre for 80s BMX?
Nope.
Yeah. So, Rad, it's the story of Crew Jones, who, this massive BMX competition called Hell Track is coming to their small town. So, like, he wants to, like, enter the Hell Track competition, but there's, like, the evil, like, mongoose, like, the evil companies are, like, trying to keep him out and stuff.
Okay, like, these big corporations?
Yeah, like, there's, like, all the sponsored guys, like, all the sponsored, like, teams show up, and, like, the mongoose team is, like, the one, like, the main bad guys. Like, they have, like, a Billy Zepka sort of person. And, like, then, like, the evil owner is, like, I don't want the kids in here. My guy's got to win. So they keep, like, you have to have his sponsored team. So they make, like the kids, like, all the kids in town, like, make a team called Rad Racing. So they sponsor themselves and, like, oh, but you need $50,000 into the competition now. So then, like, the whole town, like, bands together and gets, like, $50,000 for him.
One kid?
Yeah, the one kid.
I've never seen one community come together for one kid that wanted to fucking race a bike. That is something, like, that's just 80s splurging. Yeah. Like, that's when the economy was
this
good.
Is, like ridiculously 80s on, like, the level of, like, No Retreat, No Surrender, or Teen Witch, or Gymkata. Like, it's full, like, every 5 minutes there's, like, a John Farnham power ballad going on and stuff.
How do you, besides racing a bike, there's no, like, real training.
Like, no, he's already awesome at riding a bike, so.
That's, like, the part where he has to get a bike. All he had at the beginning was a dream.
Yeah. Well, he and his friend just, like, ride around town and, like, get chased by the cop for some reason, but, like, I guess the cop enjoys it or something. It's, like, a game. Like, he has nothing better than, like, just chase these kids around a lumberyard. Because he shows up apparently every day because, like, the kids are like, oh, Officer So-and-so is outside again.
Let's fucking piss him off.
I'll let him chase me this time. Chase him to the lumberyard. And then, like, there's, like, this crazy, like, they have a big dance. The town has a big dance for, like, all the people that coming, like, all the bikers coming in. So, and then, like, Crew, like, meets, like, this, one of, like, the sponsored girls. She's, like, the BMX champion or something. So they have, like, they, like, do, like, a BMX dance at the dance.
Like a bike dance?
Yeah, it's a bike dance. And they're, like, doing tricks on them and stuff. They're doing, like, BMX flatland tricks. Well, that's horrible, horrible 80s power ballads playing.
It's like pre-X Games.
Yeah,
so.
Pre-X Games.
Wow.
Totally, bro.
And then there's like a 20-minute sequence where, like, they play the same song over and over again, like, three times. Because they're, like, there's, like, three different qualifying races Crew has to go through to get to, like, the foul track. So, like, one race ends and, like, the song restarts for the next race.
So you're forced to listen to the same, like, thing, and you're forced to see, like, the same track.
Yeah. Right? The same things happen, like, on every race. Like, some guy will, like, there's, like, a turn, like, near this pond, and someone will always go in the pond. But it is ridiculously 80s.
That's like in order to be ridiculously 80s, you need to have a love interest you can't obtain.
Yeah, she does.
A minority friend.
Oh, yeah, that's what is, like, glaringly missing. Is, like, there's no, like crazy black friend or something.
Is there, like, even a master BMXer that tries to help the kid or something? No. So it's missing two quintessential things to the 80s,
I guess. He does have a sassy little sister.
You can combine the minority friend and the teacher into one. And that's just fine. But you need something.
Yeah. Well, he has, like, a sassy little sister, so that kind of, like, fills in when the quotas.
Sibling.
And there's an evil white man businessman.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes he's a rival dojo instructor or car dealerships man, yeah. or like the neighbor, so.
So I think that's pretty much all I watched last week. So why don't we get into news? And it's our like bi-weekly holy bat news, Batman.
Holy crap!
So first Batman bit of news that we got is that we got a like an amazing trailer for Batman Arkham City. It shows more of the game. Two-Face was in it. Catwoman. Awesome heavy song. Or the heavy song.
The heavy song.
So, yeah. I want it now. I think it's weird. Like, I want to... Someone needs to hold me back from freezing myself like Cartman to get a Wii.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I don't... It looks amazing.
Yes, it does. I mean, I don't really have any words to describe how fucking badass and awesome that was. I mean, a triple takedown, that fucking free fall to, like, glide thing where you could pick up speed and, riding on, grappling onto helicopters, that iconic, like, the Dark Knight Returns style balancing on telephone lines and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Looks incredible. Plus, there's so much that they're still not showing us. We haven't seen Mr. Freeze. We haven't seen Black Mask. We haven't seen
Bane.
Bane or Scarecrow or anyone else who supposedly shows up. I mean, don't forget, Arkham Asylum was full of goodies that you never knew were coming. So I can only assume that Arkham City will, you know, take the ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just excites me that they have such a great base to build upon, that the fact that they're putting so much work into it and taking their time with it and not rushing out some, like, you know, money-mongering sequel, it really makes me hopeful that it's going to be even better than the first.
Which,
you know, I mean, I would be thrilled if it were as good, you know, but it really looks like they're trying to outdo themselves. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I got is, you know, once they build the core engine, which they did in the first game, because I remember there was just weeks where like, oh, delay, because they need to get the cape physics correct. And you're like, what? No. Yeah. I don't care about that. But again, and then, well, you brought up the last thing is there's no replay value of the first game that much. There's like nothing different if you play it all over again.
Right.
I'll still play the game. I'll still, like, if it's just like, oh, I want to play, like, a level or two.
It's open world, they'll have, like, side missions and stuff.
I'm really hoping for that.
Like, I was going to say, like, stop, like, random, like, crime happening, but I don't want it to go, like, Spider-Man 2, like, get my balloon!
My balloon! Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, I defeated, like, what did he fight? Yeah, like, Spider-Man 2, he fought, like...
Just random thugs.
Yeah, thugs and like people falling. But I'm saying, like, who's the villain in Spider-Man 2? Like, after you defeated Dr. Octopus, like, it's like, all right, you saved the day. You can go back and replay. And it's like, there's no one really threatening you. There's purse snatchers and, like, carjackers who drove, like, a block and crashed, like, the nearest car. But in Arkham City, though, like, isn't just the whole city just a jail? So it's like,
made a section of Gotham, like, a giant jail.
Yeah, basically. They figured there's no way to, like, rehab them or whatever. So escape they just New York, put them in their own, like, ghetto type deal.
It's like Escape from New York or something.
Absolutely.
So, they're just robbing each other. Batman's just like, well, why don't, like, that job's done.
It's a little more complicated than that, I'm hoping, but yeah. I like the way they're using Hugo Strange, too, from what I've seen so far. I mean, that's fucking badass. You know, it's kind of funny because a few months ago, we speculated that The Dark Knight Rises was going to be based on Batman Prey, but now it's looking more and more like that's what Arkham City is based on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, it's that... It's basically that exact storyline, which I think is awesome. And to be honest, I'd kind of rather play through that, you know, with Batman trying to stop, you know,
whoever, I mean, whatever villain you're up against at the current point in the game, while there are, like, SWAT teams randomly bursting into buildings, you know, mm-hmm. like, coming after you. Like, it would be cool to see if they implemented some sort of, like, GTA-style wanted level thing. You know, like, where if you're too out in the open, like, you will be seen. Like, they sort of tease at that, where he's on the gargoyle and the helicopter light shines on
yeah.
him. And he's, like, spotted. Like, that's very cool. It's a very, like, Metal Gear Solid type move, which, you know, I'm a big fucking fan of, so well,
Batman, like, fun Arkham, like, Arkham Asylum, he wasn't, like, it wasn't, like, hunted, like, police gave, like, Batman full cooperation, so I don't know if things are going to change or something, but... Or unless it's like,
well,
or like,
all the more. That's what,
unless like Joker's goons have like helicopters or something, or like they'll like see you better.
Right. That's why all the more it looks like they're using the Prey storyline, because it looks like Hugo Strange is like calling the shots,
yeah.
and that he's got that fucking like task force working. So mm-hmm. should be pretty epic.
Yep. Cannot wait for October 18th.
If that's when it actually comes out. I would say the smart thing to do would be to assume that it'll be out by Christmas. That way you won't be disappointed if it gets delayed.
Yep.
But then again, I'm a cynical fuck, so don't listen to my advice.
And then other Batman news we learned over the weekend is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is allegedly going to be we got some like conflicting reports today, but is allegedly going to be playing Alberto Falcone in the Dark Knight Rises.
I think that would be perfect casting.
It would be.
And I'm hoping that Alberto shows up because it would go so perfectly with the theme of bringing it back to Batman Begins and coming full circle. I mean, if we are going to be seeing Talia and the League of Shadows and, you know, if that story is going to be brought to the forefront again, and if the story is going to be about Batman being, like, the true defender of Gotham City and being, like, redeemed in the eyes of this city, you know, I think it has to be – I think they need to throw everything they possibly can at him and have the stakes as high as they've ever mm-hmm. been. So I think that by bringing, you know, an attention-starved and neglected by his father, Alberto Falcone, into the mix, you know, it adds – you know, I think that's where the real drama and the real story is going to derive from. It's going to come from Alberto's story, if he is, in fact, who, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing. So that could be a very interesting dynamic, especially considering that if they're going to use storylines that are found in The Long Halloween and Dark Victory, then that creates a very interesting scenario for Selina Kyle. Because, you know, without getting into too many spoilers here, she does have strong ties to the Falcone crime family, which aren't really apparent, you know, from the forefront of those stories. Mm-hmm. You know? So if you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Go out and read Long Halloween and Dark Victory, if you even, you know, like Batman. So, yeah, that would be very interesting to see and would create a very interesting dynamic in the movie. But let's not forget, I think, you know, and a disclaimer here, I think that the best place on the internet other than everythingaction.com to get Batman news is Batman on Film. I mean, Jet, say what you will about the guy, like, with his no-spoiler policies and, like, you know, he does kind of come off the wrong way, I'll say, from time to time. But I would say 9 times out of 10, he's spot on with the stuff he reports. And I like the fact that you could go there to get news that's just juicy enough to get you interested, but it's not going to spoil the entire movie for you. So having said that, he may have inadvertently spilled the beans on who Joseph Gordon-Levitt could be playing if he's not Alberto Falcone, as Entertainment Weekly suggests, and that article they posted this week, it would seem that half of the people he spoke to said he was playing Roman Sionis / Black Mask, and the other half said he was playing Alberto Falcone,
And apparently there are, like, really strong arguments and, like, a lot of evidence to support both theories. And in an article he posted on Sunday, he said how glad he was that it panned out that he was playing Alberto, because he feels like adding a villain like Black Mask, who you need to introduce and develop and, like, make into a, I guess, viable threat for Batman, might take away too much from, you know, the League of Shadows and Catwoman and Bane, etc. Mm-hmm. But someone like Alberto Falcone, like, most of his story is already out there because of, you know, his father's actions in Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? So, like, he's already got a foot in the door, and all you have to do is explain that, like, he was the runt of the family, he never fit in, he's neglected, and he wants to make his dad proud and wants to, like, follow in the family business. So it could be, if he's not Alberto Falcone, it very well could be Black Mask. And honestly, I think that that would be an interesting casting choice. On the surface, at least, it makes the movie look a little bit convoluted and a little bit crowded in terms of the roster. But, you know, I have full trust in Christopher Nolan in making a kick-ass final Batman movie. Of his.
Yeah.
Final Nolan Batman. Yes, exactly. And personally, I would love to see Black Mask on film, but I would be totally, totally pleased with Alberto Falcone as well, especially with Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing him, because I think that he could bring some pretty cool depth to the character, and it would be a phenomenal casting choice, and that's all I got to say about that.
How do you find with, like, them doing, like, maybe basing it on Long Halloween, or, like, setting up Long Halloween for, like, a future movie? Like, it'd be kind of cool. Like, what if at, like, the end of, like, the Dark Knight Rises, like Alberto, like, opens up a safe or something and, like, pulls out, like, the 22?
Right, exactly. That could be very, very interesting. You know, especially if the strong rumor at the time over the summer was that, you know, apparently WB was eyeing Zack Snyder to carry on the Batman mantle after Christopher Nolan. I don't know how much of that is going to carry over in light of him doing, you know, the Man of Steel, which, by the way, was announced that that's a reboot, which kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of put off by that, but that might be for the best, but that's for another podcast. Mm. You know, I think that he could certainly adapt to the Long Halloween because it has a Dark Victory sequel built into it. So that would be a cool 3-hour epic or 2-movie, like, you know, 2-parter story there.
You also get Calendar Man.
Yes, Julian Day, the Calendar Man, the watered-down Hannibal Lecter of the DC universe. But, you know, speaking of the Holiday Killer and Alberto Falcone and all that good news, they could very well – this is a theory I had, you know, just thinking about them including the character. They could very well use the concept of the Holiday Killer in The Dark Knight Rises. And in a way, it would serve as – a way for the people of Gotham to know that Batman wasn't responsible for the crimes of Harvey Dent / Two-Face at the end of The Dark Knight Returns, but without having the public know that it was Harvey Dent who did it. Like, in a way, they could still preserve, like, you know, the public's image of Harvey Dent while redeeming the public's image of Batman. So in a way, like, you know, it would be like a 2-for-1 sort of deal, and everyone goes home happy because Falcone is a mobster anyway. Yeah. So that could be interesting. Personally, I think that'd be awesome inciting action for this movie. I mean, obviously time is going to pass between this movie and the end of The Dark Knight. So I'm kind of, I would be happy to see, like, you know, them in the middle of the holiday murders when this movie starts, you know, with, like, Batman being hunted by cops everywhere he goes, trying to really become the world's greatest detective, like we saw in The Dark Knight. You know, there's definitely more detective work in that fucking movie than all the other Batman movies combined. You know, other than that, all we had was him figuring out that Edward Nygma was the Riddler.
You know, oh, classic.
Enigma. Edward Nygma. The Riddler. Riddles. Oh, my God. And Alfred is like, very well, sir. You fucking retard. I've known this for, like, 4 weeks now. Ever since he left that fucking thing on your door. Like, we have security footage of him riding a moped up to the gates and leaving.
Prancing up with, like, a question mark staff in a tight leotard.
Too many questions. Yeah, really. It's like, we have audio of him, like, giving a monologue in front of Wayne Manor. Like, it's clearly him.
Yep.
Or he has a giant island with a blender on top of it.
Oh, God.
See,
not too many zoning laws or construction permits are needed in Gotham City. You can just build wherever you want.
Batman Forever's like,
apparently there are islands for sale. God damn.
Batman Robin, just painfully bad.
You know what? They all have their place. Yeah. You know? But as far as The Dark Knight Rises, you know, in a way, like, the chase is almost better than the catch for me when it comes to Batman movies. Because, like, I think the build-up to them and the speculation like this is, like, you know, almost as good as the final product itself. Mm-hmm. Because right now it's just, like, unlimited potential. And when it comes out, I'm sure it'll be awesome. But, I mean, now is the real fun time for me.
I'm sure we'll have more Batman news in, like, every next week or the week after. So,
absolutely. I'm hoping. I mean, WB still hasn't even done an official like plot synopsis.
No.
Like they when you think about it, they only had the Catwoman and Bane announcement. But you know, pretty soon in the trades, they're going to have to do like a 5 or 6 sentence like blurb about what it's about. Even though we basically have put it together, you know, like we know what it's about. But hopefully with that. Down the line will come, you know, at least a picture of something,
mm-hmm.
even if it's like a new vehicle.
Which I'm sure we'll have like the Batplane or something.
There has to be. There has to be something. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you know, as great as his movies are, you know, as high of a level as his movies have been compared to the other Batman movies, just in terms of like quality of movie, you know, yeah. I mean, people were comparing The Dark Knight to Heat. Like, no other Batman movie got, you know, comparisons like that. So, even though they are on, you know, this high level, they still aren't immune to, like, the marketing and
makes toys.
The need for there to be. Exactly. There have to be toys. So, of course, there's going to be a new bat suit. Of course, there's going to be at least a new Batmobile and probably the Batwing or something. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The Batwing kind of makes sense if you think about it, because I'm reasonably positive that, you know, with some of the filming locations they've announced, I wouldn't be shocked if we see some classic 1970s era Batman comic stuff where he's going to, like, the mountains of the Middle East to track down the League of Shadows. So we'll see.
They have to, like, then he crashes and has to build himself in, like, a suit.
Yes. Exactly. It's a good thing I brought my Bat Parka. these treacherous mountains.
So, other superhero news. We learned last week that David Slade is going to be directing a Daredevil reboot. Now, David Slade previously directed the 30 Days of Night and Twilight Eclipse. So,
yeah,
that's a vampire experience.
Which is totally relatable to Daredevil. Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping Robert Pattinson is fucking...
Matt Murdock?
Matt Murdock, yeah.
Why?
I'm so depressed because I'm blind.
You don't know what it's like to be me. I'm bothered. I'm going to sit on this roof in the rain.
It's
crime is stupid.
The last thing I need to do... The last thing superhero movies need to do is have, like... angsty movie people in like a superhero thing. It just isn't that. Ugh, I hate that.
Well, Andrew Garfield is Spider-Man. It looks like they're going in that direction.
Yeah, but you know? Like he kind of looks like a young guy, and he didn't do Twilight. So.
He does, but he's the angsty nerd from The Social Network. Yeah. That's why they picked him. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they were like, I think Zac Efron could be a very emotionally damaged Matt Murdock. I think he could be the guardian of Hell's Kitchen.
I think Zac Efron over fucking this guy.
Tyler Lautner.
Yeah. Oh Jesus.
Where can you put him? He's kind of too dark to be white.
Whoa. Yeah.
He's just very tan.
I guess.
He's very tan. Where are we going to stick him in? He's Shark Boy, for God's sake.
I don't know.
True. True. On a serious note, I am excited about Daredevil getting a reboot, because he's too valuable of a Marvel character to just be neglected.
Ben,
you know?
Affleck.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even hate Ben Affleck as Matt Murdock. His Daredevil was a little over the top for me. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it that was a little too, like, unbelievable.
Yep.
But as Matt Murdock, like, you know, I don't think he did a terrible job, especially when you see the director's cut. It's a little bit better, I guess is the word. But yeah, that movie just, you know, came up short in a lot of ways, and I think it gets a bad rap. And, you know, I'm hoping that they just follow the formula that was laid down for it in the comics, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope they take a page out of Batman Begins and just try to keep it simple. Show us who he is. Show us why he is the person he is. And give us, you know, a good challenge for him to face. He doesn't have to take down the Kingpin in the first movie, you know? And he doesn't have to meet Elektra. He doesn't have to fight Bullseye. Like, he could, you know, fight the mob for a little bit. Let's see him fighting street crime.
Yeah. Let's see him, like, help some, like, urban youth, like, say, a rec center or something.
Yes, exactly. And then have a breakdancing competition that he wins because of his sonar.
Then Mr. T shows up.
Yes. and sings about treating his mother right. And then he says, my mother's dead. And then there's awkward silence. but hey, you know what would be really cool now that I think about it? If they're establishing this like continuity in the Marvel universe and you have like the Avengers crew, it would be cool to see like the non-Avengers make maybe not full-on cameos, but at least be referenced in other like non-Avenger type movies.
Yeah.
And by that, I would mean like the Fantastic Four. Maybe you see or hear about or see a newspaper like article on the cover of the Daily Bugle about like Spider-Man doing something.
That's what they actually did on the Avengers cartoon.
Yes. Like, there was, yeah, from what I've heard, I still haven't like, from the, seen like, that the, thing, and you said it was
yeah,
so
yeah, in
good.
The first episode, there was like a newspaper, or it might have been one of the bike or so, but like anyway, there's a newspaper that said like Punisher still out there. Will the Punisher ever be stopped
Punisher.
Or something?
Fucking Frank Castle. Yeah. He should be on deck for a reboot, man.
I'm telling you,
but they need to make a good one, dude. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
I don't mind the Thomas Jane one so much.
That's the best one, but
dude, I don't care what anybody says, man. That movie kicks ass. Like, if you look at it as a movie that's based on the Punisher mythos, it's a fucking cool movie. Like, you know, funny story, it was actually on Spike TV on Saturday night, and I was trying to order the UFC pay-per-view, and Cablevision was being bastards about it. Like, they weren't making it available to purchase until, like, 10 o'clock on the nose. And the Punisher was on right after the prelims on Spike, and it started a few minutes early. And I gotta say, man, when they had that opening Marvel logo where it was, like, black and white, and then it got fucking shot up, and you saw the bullet holes in the smoke, like, it brought me back to seeing it in the theaters and how fucking excited I was for that. And, like, there are just parts of that movie that work so well. But then there are other parts of that movie that you just ask yourself, like, why? Like, his family being killed in Puerto Rico. And then him living in fucking Tampa. Like, it's just, there's so many creative liberties that were taken with that movie that make you wonder, like, if they ever read a Punisher comic.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, this is the same Marvel era that the first Hulk was born out of and would eventually lead us to Spider-Man's 2 and 3. So, I'm, you know.
Hey, Spider-Man 2 is amazing.
Spider-Man 2 is one of my favorite Spider-Man movies.
Spider-Man 2 is good, but it's not like, to me at least, it's not like, I don't think it tops the first. That's just me, because I feel that Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus was very distracting.
Oh, that was way better than Willem Dafoe in his, like, Power Rangers outfit.
They were both kind of outrageous, looking back on it. Doc Ock looked like a mechanical hobo. like a fat, like...
That's what he is, though.
European... Well, yeah, but, like, he's not a mechanical hobo. Like, he's a mechanical, like, weirdo in the comics.
You know, and yes, he is over the top, but, like, just his acting, it was, like, too much for what that movie had to be. Like, just, there's no way to watch that line where he goes, "Precious tritium, the power of the sun in the palm of my hand." Like, there's no way to look at that and not laugh, if you're me. I don't know.
No, we all laughed. We all laughed.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
It's also got an awesome Joel McHale cameo.
Yes, it does. It does have a good Joel. And Joey Coco Diaz, who's probably one of the funniest men on the fucking planet. He's a fat Italian-esque man on the train.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's so fucking hilarious.
So, other Marvel-related movie news. Darren Aronofsky dropped out of The Wolverine last week.
Who didn't see that coming?
I think he's got, like, 20 different projects going on, so...
Combine that with the fact that I just, from the beginning, I was like, something about this just, like... I don't think we're going to see this. Like, it just sounded, like, too
good.
And no, you know, it's not even too good. Like, it sounded cool, but, like, there was just something about it that I was like, well, that's kind of a strange, like, interesting choice. Like, why would he want to do a Wolverine? Like, Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine wasn't this, like, really well-received
No, it
movie.
Was not.
You know, like, it's not like they're asking him to, like, reboot X-Men or, like, it's not like they're giving him, like, or like a Deadpool movie, you know? It's not like they're giving him free reign to just, like, run free. Like, he has to follow the continuity that they set up, at least in, like, the X-Men slash X-Men Origins slash X-Men First Class universe.
I think it was kind of going to be, like, a soft reboot. Like, I don't think they were going to mention a lot of stuff that happened in X-Men Origins.
Right. So, I don't know. You have to assume that maybe he had vision of it going one way, they had vision of it going another, so maybe they didn't, like, really try to keep him on board too much. Like, that sort of thing happens a lot, and it's happened to him before. It happened to him with a Batman movie.
RoboCop.
It happened to him with the RoboCop movie, exactly.
Well, I think he really wanted to do the RoboCop movie, it just never happened.
I know, which is sad, because I think he could have done a fucking epic RoboCop, but... I think the RoboCop reboot is in good hands, though. I forget the Brazilian director's name, but, like, he made some heavy shit. So, if nothing else, it's going to be on par with the original Murphy scene. So, and that's all that really matters. Drink every time he gets shot, boys. Let's see how long we last.
Can they get someone as awesome as, oh, God. I always want to see...
Dead or Alive, you're coming with me.
I always want to see Red Foreman, but I can't remember his name.
They need someone with equal range, yeah. So I'm thinking Steven Seagal.
Oh, Kurtwood Smith?
Kurtwood Smith, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I don't know, but, like, Kurtwood Smith's character in that movie was such an 80s thing. Like, no one's thrown by a balding villain. Oh. No one, like, would take that guy serious anymore. He wears, like, a zoot suit in that movie in the beginning, and, like...
He sure does.
I remember when he shoots at, like, that DA guy, he's like, bitches out,
yep.
And he, like, kills that yep. guy.
That's a powerful zoot suit.
Yeah.
Like, I think two had, like, a more threatening villain, but...
Two had, like, that unkillable, like, fax copier.
Hey, you know what movie would have fucking killed if they ever made it? Even if they made it, like, a hard, like, TV 18 anime, fucking RoboCop versus Terminator.
Oh,
that
man,
game
yeah.
was the balls for oh. Super Nintendo, and it had a story that actually like kind of made enough sense.
Batshit insane, but
it was batshit insane. But I mean, that's just the nature of RoboCop and Terminator.
RoboCop downloaded himself into the internet to like take over Skynet and like make RoboCop Terminators.
Oh, fucking incredible.
Well, it turns out that like RoboCop is a precursor to Skynet.
Yeah.
Like something
absolutely.
About that.
That just, like, works, for me at least. I'm like, wow, that's pretty sweet.
That'll probably come out, like, the couple years after Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, God. That's a movie that... give me a Justice League movie before you give me fucking Batman vs. Superman. Like, let's not sink to that level yet. The beautiful thing about a Justice League movie is that you don't even need Batman to be
yeah.
in it. Or, I'm sorry, you need him to be in it for one scene, where Superman comes to him and is like, hey, you want to join my club? And he's like, fuck off, Clark. And he's like, okay, bye. I'm like, that's
just
it.
Remember, I have files on every, each one of you that I know tells me how to kill you, so.
Exactly.
I feel like Batman attends Justice League meetings to, like, write down everyone's weakness and leaves.
Yeah, basically.
Or, like if you're watching, like, the DC anime movies, like, he's there to, like, make one-liners and beat the shit out of people.
Oh, God, what was with that?
Especially, like...
That was so strange.
Like, Apocalypse. Like, it was, like, he was, like, like he was just constantly dropping one-liners.
He was, like, some weird, like, fucking... Like,
he's like
otherworldly incarnation. He was like some bastardization of like the 1960s Adam West Batman and like fucking Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns Batman. So he was like really brutal, and then he's like, "That's what I call getting the job done." It's like, "Oh my God, you broke my fucking you broke my forehead."
He's like, he blows up like Apocalypse's like castle or whatever. He's like, "That was a blast," or something.
Even Superman's like, too soon. Yep. Like, not cool.
Oh,
you know what was hilarious? I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I was like, are you guys familiar with Batman the Brave and the Bold? Where, he's like that all the time?
Yeah, but that's cool because it's like, it's supposed to be like the 60s Batman comics, like, have a TV show.
Hmm.
You know? Like, he's teaming up with, like, Blue Beetle and, like, fucking Etrigan and shit.
Plastic
like,
Man.
It's very... Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that's cool to me. You know, like, that has its niche. Like, the writing on that, from what I've seen at least, is, like, they make enough references to, like, please the hardcore Batman fans, but, like, it's watered down enough to be a kid show, so, like, everybody wins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I still think the world could use another fucking serious ass-kicking Batman animated series.
Yep.
And, like, I don't know why nobody's doing that. Like, that's free money at this point. You know? Like, why is that? Like, the Batman, I know, that just cooled off and was gone. Batman Beyond, it was a cool idea, and I'm glad it happened, but it fizzled out. Brave and the Bold, that's also unique and interesting, but I think we've gone through this. Right, right. Like, I think we've gone through this cycle of, like, crazy Batman ideas. Even, like, the Batman, like, the only thing that turned me off about that was that, like, everything seemed, like, kind of too futuristic and, like, Elseworlds. Mm-hmm. Like, the crazy Jamaican Whoopi Goldberg Joker. really hyper anime style wise.
That threw me off. Once I heard his voice, like, that's black. He's a black Joker.
I know. It's kind of like that Family Guy joke where they change the voice of
the Muppets.
Fozzie, yeah. Waka waka. It's like, what up, Batman? I'm crazy. God damn.
I definitely stopped watching when one or two villains broke into the Batcave. Like,
I know. That just became like the go-to storytelling device. And then Batman like patches it up with bricks. He's like, oh, they'll never find this again. Like, same thing in the Long Haul, or in Dark Victory, rather. Like, every fucking villain ever, like, finds their way into the Batcave, and he's like, well, glad you all could make it. And then, like, proceeds to beat the fuck out of all of them. Then he's just like, Alfred, patch this up. Like, he kind of treats him like a dick. Like, he's kind of like Archer treats, like, fucking, his butler.
I forgot he has a butler.
I know. It's such a good show.
Well, hopefully DC will do something, like, Batman-related for... You know how they're like doing the Green Lantern and Emerald Knights before Green Lantern comes out?
Yeah.
And also isn't Year One supposed to be coming out animated movie pretty soon?
Yes.
Or like sometime?
That's is it this September? I think it's this September that it's coming out. That's actually pretty bitchin'. Actually it might be later than that. What the fuck am I talking about? I don't know. It's coming out sometime between now and The Dark Knight Rises, and that should be cool. But again, I'm a little hesitant about them adapting a Frank Miller Batman comic into a watchable DC animated movie. I'm kind of hoping that they push it a little bit, push that envelope, maybe give us an unrated version. Eh?
Well,
eh?
Like Under the Red Hood was like they had some blood in there and stuff, and it was pretty crazy.
True, true. I mean, I'm not saying I need to see like, you know, titties or anything, but I'd like to
it would help.
I'd like to. Chris is like, ah, that goes down smooth. I would like to see, you know, Skeevers, the coke dealing pimp, and I'd like to see, and hopefully he's not just like, you know, fucking selling watches or something.
It's like to see the Clerks animated show when they made Jay and Silent Bob like firecracker dealers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I really don't need to be seeing that.
So, moving on from that tangent.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got there, but,
I don't know. I blame Daredevil. Yeah.
You just blame Daredevil for everything, but.
That's what I do for most things in my life.
It's Ben Affleck's fault.
Why did you rob that bank? Because fucking Ben Affleck was not a good Daredevil. This all goes back to my expectations from the trailer. I'm just pissed.
So,
Your Honor, he used the Daredevil defense.
Acquitted.
Innocent.
So we actually got some more news about our patron saint, Arnold Schwarzenegger, last week and this week. So Tom Arnold was actually talking to someone for some reason. And he mentioned that Arnold, like, when his first movie back might be True Lies 2.
I think that's wishful fucking thinking on Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold just wants to work.
So like, yeah, there's going to be a cameo for me in it.
James Cameron's going to be back.
Be awesome.
We're going to get...
He's going to give me lots of money.
Bad guy. Liam Neeson's going to be in it.
Then they're going to do a spin-off movie that's just about my character. It's going to be great.
So who knows? But I know they've been talking about True Lies 2 for a while, so...
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Didn't they say they were going to do a True Lies like TV show?
I think James Cameron was talking about like beginning of last year or sometime last year. He was saying wanted to produce like a True Lies TV show.
Yeah. You'd think they would have learned from Sarah Connor Chronicles. But alas.
It's actually interesting you mentioned the True Lies show, Chris, because I think it came out today that like Arnold's going to be producing a TV show. Or wants to produce a TV show.
Well, there you have it.
Shouldn't he be, like, lifting weights again, trying to get his body back and not really...
Pumping Iron 2 is the next movie.
Listen, man, Arnold is staying out of the limelight, though. Like, when was the last time you saw him on TV? You know? Like, I'm pretty sure Homeboy is getting his, hormone therapy and fucking hitting that P90X shit.
He's alone and it's like, I'll trade you some steroids for some, I don't know, some other
steroids. I'll give you some of my steroids for some of your steroids. Mm-hmm. Dude, whatever, man. Let him do it. And you know what? I'm not even trying to say Arnold's old or whatever. I'm not saying at his age, but like any man above 40 can get a prescription for testosterone replacement therapy. You know, like it's a very common thing, and there's no like FDA regulations on anti-aging doctors. Mm-hmm. So literally, they could, you know, stick whatever you ask for into you. So all he's got to do is get a physical and get a prescription, and he's totally legit, and he's back to looking like fucking
Terminator.
You know, yeah, I mean an aged Terminator, but fucking Terminator nonetheless, which excites me sexually.
So who knows? But hopefully.
Sorry.
Hopefully you see the return of Arnold sometime soon.
Absolutely. Sooner rather than later, bitches. Yeah. Let's bring it on. Commando 2 and 3.
Oh my god, yes. Well, John Matrix, not Command. Like, not Commando 2, just call it John Matrix.
Yeah, like Rocky Balboa or Rambo.
Or Bad Dad from Jingle All the Way.
Yes, Jingle All the Way 2.
Oh my god, yes. Sinbad needs work.
Jingle All the Way again.
Or can you make a Turbo Man movie?
Oh, Turbo Man Begins. Yep. Make it like super serious and shit. Actually, that's funny because he said he was working on a superhero type film.
Yeah, he said he was like comic book movie or something.
Yeah, some comic book related thing. So who knows? Maybe to him, fucking that is Turbo Man.
Jeez.
We're going to do a sequel based entirely on Turbo Man.
What is this Turbo Man? Last bit of news that the Red Dawn remake apparently still coming out, even though it got delayed and caught up in all that MGM bankruptcy stuff. But
winning.
So instead, like, it was going to be featuring, like, China invading America, but now it's going to feature North Korea.
I wouldn't be shocked if they change it to, like, fucking Libya or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever late-breaking brown country is trying to, like, make headlines.
I think someone at MGM played Homefront. Like, yes!
Oh, God.
Maybe. I don't know why they switched it. I don't know why they went from China to Korea.
Maybe to avoid, like, China, like, invading us or something.
Yeah, because China would fuck us up, dude. I hate to break it to everyone. There's a ton of them. And at a certain point, you just got to go with the risk strategy. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, we'll just keep rolling, because eventually we're going to win a turn.
It's funny, because, you know, it's like, China's, yeah, it's most likely, because they have towns, you know, China towns. All they do is activate their sleeper cells, and boom.
Yeah, basically. They just got to broadcast those numbers out, Mason yep. style. What do the numbers mean? I don't know. I'm a carpenter.
Find it, Harris.
Next thing you know, he's fucking killing people with swords and shit.
They're building walls and stuff. Right on horseback.
And in other news, all of Lower Manhattan has been walled off.
Then Obama's like,
and it looks fantastic.
Then Obama's like, give me Sam Worthington and Ed Harris. It'll be like the South Park where they send Kurt Russell through the Stargate. Actor,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So, yeah, that's it for news. So, why don't we get into the news roundup this week? And kicking it off, we have The Tourist, the favorite of the Golden Globes.
Yes.
I don't. It was in my theater for a long time because I guess old people like it or something. I'm sensing a lot of like apathy toward that movie.
You know, I kind of called the gimmick when I saw the trailer, and I looked it up online and I confirmed it, and I was like, all right. It's one of those, like, look at these beautiful actors and actresses that you like. The movie. It's just like Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie. That's it. Do it really matter what they do?
Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie, like, we want to go on a vacation in Venice, so let's team up and do this movie. It's like was it Couples Retreat or something? Like, Vince Vaughn was like, I'm not going on a Caribbean vacation, so make a movie around that. Or it's like Russell Crowe and Ridley Scott when they made that, like, French wine movie or whatever, like, A Good Year.
Oh,
it's like, I just want to hang out and drink wine in France, so write a script. So also coming out this week is Yogi Bear. Good Things Come in Bears.
Ho!
Which was the actual tagline before everyone pointed out how stupid it was.
Yeah. Honestly, I haven't watched a Yogi Bear cartoon in maybe like 10 years willingly.
Yeah.
Like, if it's on TV, I'll watch me a few seconds and turn it off, because that means, like, I'm up way too late to be watching Yogi Bear. Do they even show Yogi Bear cartoons anymore? Are they, like, actively seek them out?
Boomerang, maybe, or something?
As if you have it, but, like...
I don't know.
I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's cool and
I don't
all.
Even know it's on DVD.
Who wanted this? Who honestly was there, like, petitioning, like, I need Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
I want to show my kids Yogi Bear. It's like, well, go do that on your own time.
Do you think they'll have that, like, video where Boo Boo shoots Yogi in the back of the head? That's a special feature.
No, that was... No, this is a family movie. That definitely was all... That was funny, because, you know, the alternate ending, but, you know. That'd make the movie better. Good. Holy shit, would that make the movie so much better?
The best part of that video was, like, the end, where it just, like, turned, like, that super poppy rap song, whatever the hell it was.
I remember the music.
Like, the end of, like, the Yogi Bear shoot... Like, Boo Boo Shoots Yogi video, it's just, like... The credits...
That was fucking amazing. I saw that and couldn't... I was like, did that... really just happened, because that just made my life.
So, also out this week is How Do You Know, which cost $120 million and was, like, a huge flop.
Yes.
Who started that one?
Reese Witherspoon and Owen Wilson and Paul Rudd and Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
Reese Witherspoon is, like, some sort of, like, Olympic softball player or something, but she gets cut.
Oh, Jesus.
What's she gonna do now? And also out this week is Skyline. Finally, you can watch the
Mets. Now you're Skyline. Talking.
Everything I've read says that movie is completely awful.
This is a dark time.
that was the month before the Oscar movies came out, and like it's that dark time. It's like the fall between summer blockbusters and Oscar movies, so it's like nothing's coming out. Also, this week you can get all four Brady Bunch movies in a single pack.
Wait. There's four Brady Bunch movies?
Hell yeah.
There's a Brady Bunch movie, a very Brady sequel, I think. There's one Brady's Go to the White House or something.
What?
And then there's a fourth one, which I can't remember.
No. Because I actually like the Brady Bunch movies. They were set in the most perfect time. They were like the people stuck in a different era, and they're still like living in modern times, and like they couldn't adjust to the community, but like
yeah, it was hilariously meta.
Yeah, I really liked that. That was a really funny movie, and I didn't mind it. It was really like it's really weird, but like they yeah, matched Cole the perfect like characters.
Gary Cole was like perfect casting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there were four movies, and you can get them all on DVD in a single pack now. Also, this week, there's a Roger Corman two-pack, and it's Jackson County Jail and Caged Heat. So if you want some Women in Jail movies,
yeah. Get two of them now.
Mm.
Also, 25th Anniversary Edition of Stand By Me on Blu-ray this week. Okay. Yep.
This is also a film.
Also on Blu-ray, an Ernest two-pack. Ernest Goes to Camp and Ernest Goes to Jail.
Oh, on Blu-ray? Yep. Really?
Well. Wow. Arguably, those are the two best Ernest movies.
Hello, Ernest.
I don't know. Ernest Goes to Africa is pretty much my best racist Ernest of them all.
What's up with all these brown people?
Scared Stupid is a classic, too.
yeah, it is.
We gotta figure out like the special anniversary or something, so we just do the best of the Ernest things.
Oh man, yeah, we need to do an Ernest show sometime.
Oh god,
Vern,
Chris, can we just get blasted again and watch fucking like four or five Ernest movies in a row?
I'll show you like the very worst is the one where he learns to play basketball through stealing someone else's manual sneakers.
I've seen that with you. That's on that like Uber DVD where he's like he's got like insane ramblings. It seems like a fucking audition tape for a little while.
This is a plot where he works at a mall and he like helps the local mall like basketball team.
Oh,
it's the one of the lesser famous ones.
Oh well, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's just, like, awful racism. Because he's, like, the only white guy in the movie.
It's good for the soul, though.
It's like White Man Can't Jump with Ernest.
We deserved White Man Can't Jump, so... You know. we were asking for it.
Did you ever show Joe the Ernest drinking game, Chris?
Of course.
I still haven't played that, so we gotta play that sometime, Chris.
God.
Where you got like, was it, yeah, like you get a category of commercials, and then you watch the commercial to figure out like what
Ernest
is saying.
Yeah, because Ernest was popular for like promoting local like products in his area of like Texas or something, and you don't know what his product is until the last second. It's like a robot chicken skit because it's like, what are they trying to sell? And it's just Ernest rambling on and on and on about like his day, like his food, and it could be car insurance. You won't know until he says something like really like product-y. You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
If it's your product, you drink.
Yeah, if it's your product, you drink. And there's a lot of different products and a lot of subcategories. So it's like an interchangeable game. But once you play it like once or twice, like you pick it up and you trick the new people who play. It's like, oh yeah, pick this product. And it's like it's the most predominant thing.
So let's see. Also on Blu-ray, we have The Sandlot, a classic.
Woo!
And also the Riddick collection on Blu-ray, which is Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick.
Wasn't there like an anime thing between them?
I don't know. There's the games. I know.
we don't talk about that.
The games, I know, like Butcher Bay and whatever the other one was. Dark Athena.
Butcher Bay 2. Yeah.
The Butchering.
And apparently they're still trying to make a third one or something.
Oh, God. Let it go.
If it's like, go back to, like, what, like, Pitch Black. Because Pitch Black is a pretty awesome movie.
I don't know why they decided to expand upon that one character from Pitch Black.
Because he was the main character? I don't know.
Yeah, but it seemed like, I thought Pitch Black is going to be its own movie. Like, you don't have to think about it again. And then it's like, Chronicles of Riddick. I'm like, oh, shit. They really want to.
It's like a crazy, space government. A crazy space monarchy and queens and, like, weird magic going on. And
right, and I was like, all this from, like, that one movie where they were stuck on a planet that it would turn nighttime, like, it was really hard to live. Like, that
I think Vin Diesel played way too much D&D before writing, like, going, saying, like, we need to make a second movie.
But it was a good gamble, because it could have been so much worse or something, but it was a decent movie.
Chronicles of Riddick.
I liked it. It was really just, like, really extensive.
So anyway, that's what's coming out this week on DVD and Blu-ray. So going into a special feature of this week, which is it is the 20th anniversary of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. So we're going to talk about Ninja Turtles.
Say it loud, say it proud.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go! Go,
go Ninja Rap.
I think, fucking let's love see. It. One of my... This is like one of the earliest movies I've seen in theaters, because I was like maybe 3 when this came out.
Mm.
No. We say 25th anniversary.
20th. It came out in 1991.
20th. Right, so I was 3 about this point. I get my math correct. Anyway. Fucking, you're a fan of Ninja Turtles. You're a fan of pizza and, like, shitty karate classes.
Go to Pizza Hut.
Making it great.
But, like, me and Joe lived in the city at that time, and there was, like, one Pizza Hut, and it's, like, in Staten Island.
Yeah.
There's, like, no way your parents are going to drive, like, an hour worth of New York traffic for you to eat pizza there.
Hell no.
Yeah. Did you ever go to a Pizza Hut? Like, when did you have to go to Pizza Hut, Joe?
Like, I went to fucking, like, upstate New York, like, to visit my uncle. Like, they were like, hey, let's go to Pizza Hut. I was like, what? They do exist.
And this is also back when Domino's wasn't so popular yet, but they still
go. Domino's was in the first movie, though.
Yeah, well, weird because the VHS for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has a Pizza Hut commercial before it, which I used to love, by the way. That's fucking awesome. I'm going to YouTube that after this with the fucking Little League team and that, like, little rusty kid who has to catch the fucking ball.
I play left field and something.
Yeah. It's important you know. You got to know how to catch. You got to know how to throw. Yeah. It's good times, man. Fuck. Anyway, they have that commercial, and then fucking Domino's is, like, prominently displayed in that movie, and I was like, oh, wait a second. Something about this doesn't add up. So, yeah. But, yeah. You know, fucking, where would we be without the Ninja Turtles, dude? I mean, that was such a important and joyful part of my childhood.
They're part
of
my DNA.
Seriously, they're so, like, flamboyantly radical. And I don't even mean flamboyant in, like, a fruity way. I just mean, like, it was perfect. Like, they were ninjas, but they were also turtles. And fucking, like, they were funny, but, like, they kicked ass.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, the perfect show for, like, young dudes of the 90s, you know?
Well, there weren't too many, like, female leads in that character, so a lot of women could associate.
Thank God.
It's like if my mom was, like, always wondering, like, it's only April O'Neil. Like, that's the only female toy out of the whole bunch you bought me. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, I just threw it, like, put it away. Like, oh, April O'Neil character. Like,
your shoulder.
I used to have her make pies in the hideout. So if we're going to go fight Shredder, April, you stay back and make pies. Yep. You just watch the kitchen and make sure nothing happens. You know?
Like, April didn't really save the day or anything. She didn't get kidnapped. She just kind of stayed at home and, like, folded, so...
Wasn't, like, 80% of the cartoon's plots, like, April gets kidnapped?
She's oh, always, like, no! Sort of,
you know, like, oh, it's a new pet store, and a drill will pop up from the ground.
Fuck! And... yeah, all the time.
Uncle Phil would kidnap her, and then...
Oh, man.
I forgot.
Yeah, it was always Phil... it was a very strange relationship with April.
Yep.
She didn't wear any like proper clothes. She always had that orange, that yellow jumpsuit. That was just like the rafe, fucking... the rafe ready suit.
I know. You could just like unzip it down the front and have at it. Oh, April, you made me a man. You made me a man. Very, very disappointing transition from cartoon April to movie April.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna movie lie.
April. Was it like a different April?
For the I was first, like, oh. Like,
yeah, the first movie, April O'Neil was like this curly hair, like ginger, and she at least was like a reporter that like sort of was trying. It's weird because like they try to portray this like anchor woman,
yeah,
as like this like go to like strong willed woman, but like when like that's just her news face. But then when you really know her in the movie, you're like she's like this broken woman who like
my dad left me an antique store.
Well, no, in the comic...
Let's burn it to the ground.
No, I do, like, I watched the show first, but then as a kid, I fell in love with the comic, yeah. Too, because the comic, really, really good. It looks shitty, like, compared to, like, Marvel, because it's, like, it was made by a bunch of independent guys
who hell
just,
yeah.
Like, who just, like, I sat in the garage and drew, like, stick sketches, and then, like, eventually they got better through time. And they eventually like hand it off to like real art, like really good artists to make it look more appealing. But the first like three or four issues are just awful to look at. It's just like deviant art style drawing. You're like, oh, how did this become like cartoony and like colorful?
And they're also like killing people and swearing and.
Yeah, there's like no practice. Shredder trained the turtles to be assassins. Like,
their only reason for living was to kill Shredder.
Yeah, Splinter was just like, all right, so I'm going to raise you for, like, 17 years just training to kill one super ninja. Yep. And they do it, but then it's like, Shredder's like, but I have so much to teach you, and he really doesn't. It just, the turtles keep getting into trouble because they keep murdering so many fucking people. Yeah.
Or, like, I love, like, the one where, like, they break into, like, the, whatever, the company that makes the ooze, and they, like, teleport to, like, the Triceratops planet or whatever. They have to, like fight. Mm-hmm. They have to, like fight in gladiator games.
Yep, and because they fight so well because you know Splinter was trained them for 17 years of death. You know, like they kill everything. They fight all these aliens and they fucking stab them with like Japanese yep. weapons. And you're like, Jesus Christ! And it's cool because in that later on, like in that movie Turtles Forever, like they show up and they're just psychotic, bloodthirsty guys.
I know.
Guys. Like,
that was fucking
Leonardo,
awesome, dude.
Leonardo's Rorschach, pretty much.
Yeah.
The city's that dark. Awesome. Raphael's to my left. He stabs him.
I love the, like, lovably retarded, like, late 80s yeah. Turtles, though. That was good. Awesome.
Like, I forgot, like, Raph would, like, constantly, like, look at the camera and say something. And I was like, who the hell are you talking to?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I do appreciate the different iterations of the turtle genre, because I can't really pick, like, one I didn't really like. I did like the TMNT one, and I did like the...
The CG movie,
the TMNT one. And I did like the other one, the more recent TV show that was, like...
2009, like, one where, like, it was, like, sort of more comic-based.
Hmm.
Well, the 2000, like... Was it 2005?
Cause yeah.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
Even, like, they expanded upon that in 2008 where they went to the future and stuff, and they were stuck there. I liked it. You know, it's like... It's ingrained in my DNA to like my old kid stuff, like Ghostbusters, Teenage Turtles, like Pogs.
Shredder was a freaking badass in the most recent cartoon.
Yeah, because he didn't have a limp and just like stay home in the sewer.
Which was hilarious, like in Turtles Forever when like old Shredder shows up and he's like, "What's your plan?" Like new Shredder's like, "What's your plan to kill the turtles?" He's like, "I'm going to make bombs that look like pizzas." He's like, all right.
Yes.
I'm taking over. Like, so, like, New Shredder, like, turns the Technodrome into, like, this giant killing machine, like, turns all the foot soldiers and, like, super ninjas.
He makes him more, like, efficient.
Yeah, yeah, good shit.
And then Bebop and Rocksteady, like, trip over the wire, and that's what causes him to die.
Such a great movie.
Oh, Bebop and Rocksteady.
That's another thing I didn't get. Like, out of the whole thing, animals that get mutated into, like, people, Bebop and Rocksteady are the only people, only animals that wore clothes, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird. Because I know, like, in most episodes, they were always the people, the turtles' fault. Like, a giant rhino and a warthog and a mohawk.
They were just, like, the bumbling sidekicks who were like, go kidnap April O'Neil!
She's doing a report about puppies.
These damn toidles. Yeah, I think... Bebop was, like, Brooklyn. Praying. From, like, Brooklyn or something.
It worked?
Yeah, I know. Like, Bebop had, like, a crazy accent. He was always, like, you toidles.
Just fucking toidles.
Yeah. Yeah, but Krang, yeah.
Alright, so, like, I remember Krang was just, like, a brain person. Inside a giant, like, fat, white guy.
Like the guy from Operation.
Even worse, though, because he didn't have, like, hair. He was a balding, like, and he wore, like, a red underwear. Yeah. Like, I just remember the choice design in there. It was so stupid. Yep. Like, thank God in the comic they didn't draw that, because I couldn't imagine how fugly that would look on paper. But, like, that shit gives me, like, just thinking about that, if I was more of, like, a normal kid or just, like, less prone to the world, like, that can give you nightmares. A giant, like, white dude with, like, a brain in his stomach, like, an open stomach, too. Just seems weird.
With, like, talking, like, a constant, like, high-pitched screech.
It was just, like, yeah, he had, like, a lisp or a slurp or something.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Like, just, I remember the toy was really upsetting, because I was, like... Not upsetting, but, like, it's what you expect for fucking Krang toy. It's a brain thing with, like, you put it on, like, a stilt, like a little
walker,
like a small chair. Oh, yeah, like a walker. And then my mom didn't buy me the giant, like, Krang white guy vehicle. So I never had that full, like, maybe it was like like 2 feet, because I remember, like, it was this big thing, and it was really hard to get, like, the giant white man transportation thing.
Giant honky.
What? Like, I remember in the games, he could grow, like, the Krang, it was Super Krang, in Turtles in Time, like, you fought
like Godzilla-sized.
Yeah. So, I was like, that's cool, and, like, nope, never had that opportunity to play with that kind of toy.
Turtles in Time was so awesome.
Was there a better, like, side-scrolling multiplayer game ever?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think
it was pretty refined. Konami knew their shit to make good side-scrolling beat-em-ups. They tried to do that with X-Men, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah, well, that was, like five years before Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
Right, but, like, they had a good formula of, like, side-scrolling, but Turtles in Time, like, perfected it. It had, like, special moves you could rack up scores, and each score was different, and it was, like...
Screen.
It wasn't based on just dying over and over and beating at quarters, you know, like the old X-Men.
I could say was definitely a money-making level,
Absolutely, but fucking, that's the only way to beat, like, the original X-Men arcade game.
Yeah.
Just have to go there with, like, $10 worth of quarters and say, like, okay, I'm going to beat this game today.
Especially since when you do a power, like a power move, you, like, lose half your life.
It drains your life, yeah. I know. It's ridiculous.
I didn't have a Super NES growing up. I had a Genesis.
So did you play, like, Hyperstone Heist or whatever?
Hyperstone Heist, like the really backwaters version of Turtles in Time. Yeah, I had to make do. With what I
did. Did you ever play, like, the Street Fighter one? Like, Tournament Fighters?
The Tournament Fighters? Yeah. I played that one. That was confusing.
It was, like,
the
shark guy.
Well, no, they're based from actual characters. Some of them are based from actual characters from the comics, so... And very late, like, from the Archie comics, too. Like, the Archie comics was the expanded universe of the TV show. And it was really good. Like, the art style kind of matched. Like, It introduced a lot of, like, zany scenarios and all these weird characters. But then they were, like, shoehorned into the game. So I was kind of playing them, and I didn't play anyone else besides maybe, like, Michelangelo, Raph, and like, a dinosaur guy. Like, that...
Wasn't it a bat guy?
I can't name any character that was more famous from, like... Besides, like, the characters from the TV show.
Didn't Casey Jones, like, you could, like, pull out different, like... You could pull, like, a hockey stick out or, like, a golf club or something?
I never mastered the moves. Like,
I think...
I don't remember.
You could either do that or, like, it was just, like, random, like, whatever weapon he would pull out. So then you had, like, a baseball bat and, like, a golf club and stuff.
Huh.
Fucking love it. Wayne Gretzky on steroids?
Oh, man. The first movie is so great still. Yeah. Even though, like, I think I've said this before, but, like, the foot's plan in the first movie is, like, really, like, unmotivated. We're going to give these youth a hideout, and then they're going to steal VCRs for us.
But no
a
offense.
A lucrative plan to take over the world.
Yes. No offense. I kind of want to be, like, a early 90s like youth, skate like, skate punk guy. Like,
yeah,
that hideout was pretty ball.
Yeah, they had, like,
this is how we... Oh. Yeah, man, that's where I
drinking,
wanted to be.
Smoking cigars,
smoking,
playing poker,
like
skateboarding, all
got
that.
Got any cigarettes? Yeah. Regular or menthol? I remember seeing that when I was about to be like, ooh, they're bad.
Playing bad dudes.
Oh, God, I know. And then, like, underground kickboxing tournaments going on in the background.
Yes. While that was, like, in the back room, they're like, and we're training ninjas.
And we're doing some skateboarding, walking around, eating Burger King. Good product placement, by the way. And, by the way, we're training the Foot Clan.
God, what was Shredder's, like, second-in-command dude there?
Like, Master Roshi?
Yeah, or something like that.
I forget what his actual name was. It was, like... Something very Japanese.
He's like goes apeshit that one guy.
Oh my god, he kicks the shit out of that kid.
It's like, Master, stop!
I know.
I just remember he had those ninja balls, like, ninja vanish, and they all, like, slammed them, and then they all disappeared, and... Or the part where, in number two, especially, where he comes back, and,
How cool was that
Raph,
when he came back?
Like, the Asian delivery boy teams up with Raph, and then they steal the bells.
Ernie Reyes Jr., son.
Oh, yeah,
Ernie Ninja's Jr. theme.
Wasn't he introduced in Last Dragon? I think he was.
Maybe.
I think he was, like, the really little kid at, like, the final battle in the, like, music studio.
There's a lot of random things going on in the last battle of Last Dragon. So, I just remember Shonov. Like, there's really nothing else you remember about Last Track besides Shonov.
And the glow.
But anywho. again, back to the scene with the Foot Clan. Like, their initiation is pretty fucking weird. Because it's like, do you remember the beginning part? I was like, crime is on the rise. And they're just stealing, like, VCR stuff out of, like, hands. And they're just like, like, one guy. I remember this opening scene where this dude is like, He's watching TV in his Lazy Boy, and he turns around to get something.
And he's gone.
And the ninja just grabs the TV and leaves out of the fire escape. I'm like, only in New York can a fucking ninja break into your apartment in 2 seconds. But think about it. There's some ninja walking around, like, with a fucking TV.
Yeah, and then, like, that lady who comes out on the fire escape, she's like, hey, like, jump in the van and run away. That was epic. Mm-hmm. Was there anything likable about Danny or his father?
Not really.
What a douchebag. I hated that kid.
That was such an unnecessary plot to that movie. The
Danny.
Was that a kid you can relate to?
Yeah, a ginger.
Yeah. I'm not relating to a goddamn ginger.
Chris is like, this kid, like, yeah, I want to be, like, stealing money out of wallets and, like, hang out, like, in warehouses by, like, the Hudson River.
Thank God Mr. Splinter was there to teach him some respect.
You know your life's going to shit when a giant rat is telling you things
about your life. He's teaching you life lessons.
Yeah, and you're listening. Yep. I mean, if I were fucking... If I found Master Splinter chained to a fence, I'd be like, how the fuck did I get myself into this scenario?
I should probably go home and do homework. God damn
it. I'm gonna go home and lay off the fucking shrooms, man. This is...
My boss, this is like, my boss is a giant Ginzu.
I've got a problem.
I'm thinking, like, even as a kid, I thought, like, that was bad. But even now, if I go to, like, a bar or a restaurant or someplace where, like, a lot of people are, and there's something, like... chained, yeah. Game over. Like, that's it. You go home. Yeah. Like, but you go there and there's this giant talking rat, and you're just like, all right, like this can't be right. I'm not getting to heaven anymore.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely goes up to him. He's like, fuck it. Well, I've gone this low. Like, I might as well see what the giant rat has to say. Like, oh, I'm here. I might as well. I'm not gonna not see what he has to say to me. Come this far, it'd be kind of stupid of me.
You should probably also go home if, like, giant monsters burst into your Vanilla Ice concert and start fighting. Oh,
Jesus. How rude of them.
Alright, so...
That movie has everything, though. Fucking
yeah, let's go back to the second movie. That's even worse than the first movie, the sense of just the crazy shit that goes on.
Well, the first one is, like, they're trying to be a little bit serious. Like, it's, like... The first...
No, the first one is still, like, my favorite. It's very, like...
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my favorite movies ever, much less my favorite Turtle
movie. That first scene where, like, April... Like, they just, like, save April, but you don't see them.
Whoa!
That happens in the comic, except when the light turns on, they're all dead. Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome in the comics. It's awesome in the comics. I'm just laughing because, like, how fucking horrifying that would have been for little kids. Yep. It's like the guy's got his severed dick in his hands. They left one alive to tell his friends. Oh my god!
Oh god!
I always felt bad because like almost two out of the turtles, Raphael and Leonardo, are the ones who have like real killing weapons. Yep. It's like in order to get killed by like a bow staff, that guy has to beat you senseless with
he'd have to like knock you retarded with it or like make you swallow it.
And Michelangelo's is fucked.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
he got behind him and like choked him out.
Yeah,
they do that. They fucking do that in the comic, like. Donatello sometimes, like, sneak attacks someone and, like, snaps their neck with his bow snap. You're like, holy shit.
Or, like, shoves it up his ass and out his mouth.
Oh, God.
Same thing, Michelangelo does it. Michelangelo, like, also, like, but he, when he smacks them, like, their head whips back and their neck just snaps. So,
love it.
Yep.
Just like, okay. So, the sequel, let's go back to that. In the sequel, not only do they don't give a shit about their secretness about being exposed to the public anymore. They fucking fight this. They fight like the burglars robbing a toy store, for God's sakes.
You're damn right they do. That's an awesome opening scene.
Where they're like,
Ernie Reyes Jr. cracking those one-liners.
Yeah, like the freeze frame of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. And they're close to the
God, that was fucking incredible. I love that so much. Just stops at the perfect moment.
And Toka and Rezar.
Oh, man. Those little bastards.
I didn't get why, like, Shredder... like, of all things to feed that ooze to, it's just a snapping turtle and, like, wolf.
Like a puppy.
Like a stray dog.
Yeah. And then they just let him loose in the streets of New York just to go play. Yeah. I remember that. He's like, go, play. And then he just, like, break shit.
That's my favorite thing. Shredder's like, they're going to go on a rampage! And it's just like, I punched the street light, and then we threw a mailbox.
And that's basically it. It was a very tame rampage.
Yeah, they did more shit in Do the Right Thing than they did in that one rampage.
Really? It was like, you guys remember the Simpsons episode where, like, Homer, like, Bart just, like, makes Homer angry dad, and then, like, he turns into Hulk at the end?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, the stress bubbles. The stress
like, it's like, Homer, smash! And he like punches the wall and doesn't do anything. That was like Token Razor's rampage.
Absolutely. But Chris, you're right. It really is like he just found the first fucking animals he saw. He's like, oh, sick puppy and
turtle.
Half-dead turtle.
Turtle flailing on its back in the middle of the road.
Yeah, it's like half-retarded turtle and mangy animal.
Okay, now, what is the most typical thing in New York you'll see that's an animal? A squirrel and a
goddamn
pigeon.
rat and a pigeon or a squirrel and a pigeon, yeah.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't see a fucking snapping turtle. You need to go to some, like, weird, like, animal exotic shop to get that.
I know.
You know, just like, this is the best they can do? Like, a fucking snapping turtle and a dog? Like, that's not bad, but it's like, that's not common. I mean,
at least Bebop and Rocksteady were fucking a wild boar and a rhino. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, from the zoo, like, break into the fucking zoo for something.
Yeah, really? Shredder? What the fuck, dude?
Different crocodiles and snakes bats and...
How about a fucking gorilla? Yeah. You know how strong that thing is to begin with? Give that gorilla some fucking ooze, you got a real problem on your hands, buddy.
The thing is, I remember it was like almost a few months after the first movie. The premise was like, they defeated Shredder and they're just bored now, right?
Yeah, well, they make a comment about how Shredder's been missing for like weeks or whatever.
Okay, let's go back to the first movie again. Where they fucking, they let Shredder like, fall 9 stories into a garbage truck. Then Casey Jones smashes his body in.
That's like, sick fuck.
Garbage.
Then he survives. He just has, like, a dent in his head.
Well, no, yeah, plus everyone's like, oh my god, I think he's dead, and then Casey Jones goes, oops.
Now he is.
And they're like, Casey, no! Casey, that's murder!
Whoopsie.
That's not the way of the ninja. He's like, I'm not a ninja, bro. Just fucking, like, crushes
then
him.
Then like, oh, Casey made it funny.
I know. Like, they're all, like, dancing, and Shredder's, like, you know, fucking actually dead.
Okay. At the beginning of the second movie, he just walks into the garage, the new, like, hideout, which is, like, a junkyard. He just, like, shows up. He's like, hey, none of you guys ever helped me or something? What the fuck?
Yeah. Thanks for having my back, you fucking bitch.
I woke up at the garbage dump.
Yeah. I woke up in Jersey. God damn it.
That's basically it. He's like, do you see what I'm wearing? I had to walk on the turnpike. I was so... My ass is so chapped. He's like, my shiny pants are so uncomfortable.
No wonder he was gone for like 2 weeks. He was in the middle of nowhere in Jersey. Yeah. He had to walk back to like...
Left him on the fucking garden seat. He's just walking like, please someone stop. I had to suck dick in bus stops to get money.
No wonder he's pissed. Like, no,
I had to suck off truckers to eat. It's like, oh my god, Shredder. You've fallen from grace.
Like, congratulations, you survived New York's trash, and now you gotta, like, walk back, and, like, your whole fucking clan is, like, hanging out at a scrapyard.
Yep. I know, they're just, like, shooting pool like a bunch of bitches. You know, like, they're not fucking doing anything. It's like, so, we're ninjas,
We're just, like, a club now. We don't really do crime or anything. We're just, like, it's like a men's organization. We're just hanging out.
And he just straight up walks in that bitch and is like, what the fuck? And everyone's like, oh, God. It's him.
We're going to get some ooze.
It's like, hey, Shredder, how you feeling, buddy? He's like, fuck you. Ooze. No one helped me. No one had my back. No. I called you.
Do you guys remember in the first movie where he does the initiation in front of everybody and this is really awkward lighting and stuff?
We are all family.
Yeah.
Guess not.
Yeah, I guess not. Like,
you are getting a... Will you accept a collect call from... Oh, fuck. Who? Shredder. Can you imagine the collect call? Just him going, oh, God. So much garbage. It's in my mouth.
I'm going to kill those turtles.
If anyone cared about Shredder, they'd be like, hey, Shredder, I mean, there are probably, like, needles and shit in there. Like, you should probably, like... Go to a clinic and get tested, man. Like, let's get you some penicillin. But instead they're like, oh, Shredder's back. Let's just let him do whatever he wants.
Oh, he wants a new pet? Okay.
Yeah, the cutout scene from Turtles 2. It's like, oh, Shredder, we have the results of your physical. I'm afraid you got HIV from a, like, dirty banana peel. And that fucking... They're like, it's like, what? How did that happen? Well, apparently there are like 10,000 used condoms in that garbage truck. I mean, it's pretty gross. Yeah. He's like, no, this is so embarrassing.
Oh my god. And then he becomes Super Shredder. Drinking the ooze, like, somehow gives him, like, crazier blades on his costume.
Yeah, drinking the ooze turned him into Kevin Nash, which is pretty, it's a pretty sweet trade-off.
Well, do you remember, like, how he got to that point where they're at the Vanilla Ice concert, and he grabs, like, a random bitch.
Someone slipped Shredder some ooze. Well, what the fuck is in my drink?
This isn't a Cosmo.
This isn't a ooze teeny.
Like, I remember he grabbed her and, like, oh, you move and I'll mutate her on stage. And so, like, I remember they kick him. Oh, no, they turn up the volume on a sound thing and they blow him out of a fucking concert hall into a pier.
Yeah.
You know that?
How I think it reacts with the, like, garbage that's still on him. Turns into Super Shredder.
But, like, my question is, like, one, like, how can the, like, the ninjas give up the cult of discretion now? Like, they're just at a fucking Vanilla Ice concert. Two, it's like, what, it's like, the worst thing Shredder can do is, like, threaten the turtles with more ooze. Why the fuck would you want to, like, use this, like, last measure on a random person? Like, he didn't have to show up at the end. He just, like, hey, like, remember the time you guys knocked me out of a 9-story building? Like, now I'm back here, bitches. Like, it's like, that's your plan? You fucking fought him one-on-one once, and you were kicking their ass.
He's like, hey, assholes. What the fuck?
But no, that's a pretty good fight sequence at the end of the first movie, where he takes them all at once.
And finally, and Splinter has to show up and save them all.
Yeah,
Splinter wins because he's the closest near the end. Like, I bet if you actually took him serious, he probably could have... Shredder could have killed him. I'm just saying.
Splinter looked kind of feeble.
I think Vanilla Ice should have done something. He's on stage.
Yeah, like, get killed.
He could have done, like, a pelvic thrust or something.
Now, can you imagine the newspaper just like, oh, fame rapper dies in ninja fight?
Yeah, famed rapper killed by Super Shredder.
What?
That'd be amazing. Oh, I didn't realize that the Shredder was super new.
He's poisoning.
Yeah, really.
Radiation?
Think about the fucking seriously, think about the radiation must be like on the fucking ooze. You know, it's like, oh my god, that's April's like, in the hospital. What do you think happened? Well, we're always standing around here and we're basically walking nuclear reactors. Said they found a tumor the size of a laptop behind her, like, fucking frontal lobe.
Oh, man. And then, like, and Super Shredder, like, kills himself by destroying the pier and collapsing on himself.
Yeah, highly likely that that's what kills Super Shredder.
I don't get it how the turtle, like, I remember, I kind of, like, they beg Shredder not to do it.
Yeah.
Not to
he's
be hitting
like,
the
he's,
wall.
He's, like, raged out, so he just, like, keeps going.
And, like, the turtles were like, why couldn't the turtles run away? They were just, like, backing out. Like, I don't know. Because they end up in the water in the end. They survive because they end up being
they win
turtles.
They their shells,
but,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
I love being a turtle!
Who doesn't?
And then three.
So that's our podcast for the week.
My god, three was horrible.
Yeah. Dude, I haven't even... I saw that movie once when I was little, and was like... Even back then, I was like, never again.
Actually, no. I was so hypnotized by, like, my love of turtles that, like, I fell into pretty much a creative coma and didn't really see, like, how bad it was until years later when I bought it on DVD and watched it again. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, I should probably watch it sometime because I do own it now. I bought that fucking kick-ass Turtles Pizza Box Blu-ray combo for like $20 on Barnes & Noble, like right before Christmas. So that was a fantastic purchase, but I really do owe it to, I guess, someone to watch the third movie again.
Where it had like the evil like General Custer guy from...
Dude, I don't even know.
No, he was a Spaniard, Englishman or something like that.
Yeah, I think like English, like, evil colonialist guy or something. And he was, like, he was teaming with, like, the evil samurai guy to, like, take over the village or something, or take over the country.
I don't know, maybe.
The turtles switch places with, like, four samurai from Japan.
Japan, feudal Japan.
So, like, Casey Jones, like, running around New York with, like, these samurai guys.
And not really, it's just, it's Casey Jones hanging out with some, like, foreigners.
Yeah.
Teaching them, like, American culture.
Hey, you guys want to go to a strip club?
This is what we call a telephone. This is a bus.
You, You guys ever get your dick sucked behind the karaoke bar?
I know. All you Asian guys love karaoke, don't you?
We're doing it tonight.
I just remember it was a scepter.
Yeah,
and...
no, it was like a... It looked like a freaking lantern or something.
It was a lantern scepter, though. It was like a time scepter. It's just that, like, you had to be holding it the right time. Another person in another time was holding it or something, and it just activated on its own.
And the costumes were fucking horrible in the third one. Like,
yeah.
The first movie,
compared to the first movie
was amazing.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, like, TMNT, I think TMNT sort of, like, washed out the bad taste of three.
Well, it's a different thing. It's a different feel to watch the cartoon version.
Yeah.
And, you know, then watching, like, the live-action one. Because I remember, like, not really expecting TMNT to be a good movie. Expecting it to be just, like, a really overblown episode or something. But I was surprised at just, like, the depth in it.
And actually, like, stayed in continuity, too, because, like, Shredder was still dead and stuff.
Yeah, but there was a lot of backstory that you had to, like, be a fan to understand. Yeah. Like... The Foot Clan, like, having a giant New York, like, thing. Like, they had their own little headquarters.
Yeah, it was sort of, like,
in,
like, sort of movie continuity and, like, the 2000 cartoon continuity met together.
Yeah, yeah. And a little bit more, too. Like, it's also, like, when Ralph on his own little renegade phase happens.
The Leonardo Ralph fight is fucking amazing.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, he would win. Because he's just so, like... ballsy and so strong, but Leonardo like wouldn't pull out his true form until like he had to fight someone he hated or something.
It was like raining, lightning storm going on. It was just god. that's like a reason to rent the movie, like watch the movie.
Also, I just didn't like
Stewart
the idea.
Bad guy.
Well, he wasn't really a bad guy. He was just like this guy.
He was like some ancient, like he was like a Highlander or something.
Yeah, he was a Highlander. Like, that's the thing. I did not need the whole demon subplot thing. They had demon catching.
Those demons got easily captured, too.
Yeah, like, I thought that was so much more. That's why I was like, all right, it wasn't.
It was like this
5-minute
montage of, like, the Foot Clan just, like, capturing all the demons.
Yeah. And April O'Neil learning how to fight.
Yep.
I don't know. It actually happens in the comic, though. Like, April O'Neil actually becomes, like, a semi-decent ninja. But it's also fucked up, because, like, in the comic, she turns out her father and mother, like, they couldn't have kids, so they found a magical pen or something, and they drew April a baby as, like, their perfect what-if baby. And it came to life, and it was April O'Neil. Like I told you, it's such a weird, like, you know, there's so much other weird things in other comics that, like, this is, it still hits the surface of, like, what? But still, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it did get fucking crazy.
It did.
Like, I remember, like, they had, for, like, a while there, they had, like, crazy, like, guest spots of, like, other indie characters coming in. Like, there was, like, this samurai buddy named, like, Yojimbo something.
Yojimbo, yep. But Yojimbo was popular. Like he was his own series, and that was pretty cool. And then he just kind of popped in. It was just like, yo.
And there's some sort of like medieval aardvark or something that was running around.
I guess.
Because I know Turtles went to medieval times. Because there's a whole arc where like Turtles was like flying through time.
You're talking about the comic now. Or you're talking about
the comic.
I'm phasing in and out of the comic series, so I only read like really key points. I don't remember the time traveling. I kind of remember, but not as well as like.
Well, there was like the first arc where they killed Shredder, and then there's like the arc where like they are trying to figure out, like who they were. So they went to like the company that made the Oobs. And they got
Then turns out the company are from owned by a bunch of
aliens. Yeah, like the aliens. But they weren't evil. They were just like we're aliens. Don't tell anyone.
And then they went. Yeah, we trust you. Then they came back home, and then Shredder came back as a worm.
Yep.
And then it's so insane. And then I remember they went back to space,
mm-hmm.
And then they helped some planet like free itself, and they came back, and then they fought like those city wars because Shredder was gone. all the other, like, secondary mobs, like, they became crazy and had, like, a giant mob war.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely try to, if you can find, like, old copies of the comic, definitely just check them out, because they're awesome.
I mean, it's different for someone who, like, ever, like, watched the movies or watched the cartoon series and, like, not know that there's such a rich and, like, deep past with the comics that exist already.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Teenage Mutant Turtles, the new show. I'm not sure what they're calling it now.
I think it's like Teenage Mutant Turtles, just like that, yeah.
That's it? Okay. Because I remember the live-action show they had on Fox.
Oh, my God.
Was it the second
The new mutation or something? And, the new
mutation.
With Venus de Milo.
No idea what they... Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Female, Japanese samurai turtle or something?
She was a turtle that was raised in Japan and came to America for some strange reason. And then she had magical orb powers and had turtle tits. Worst invention.
Yep.
Now, there was this cool part, though, when they fought with Power Rangers.
Yep.
Like, I thought that was a cool episode.
It was the Power Rangers of space, right?
Yep. They somehow landed on Earth, and then they confused the turtles for, like, regular monsters, and the turtles just, like, they're trying to help, like, the monster because they thought, like, the monster was a good guy and stuff, and then they fucked up on both sides, and it was just, like, you know what, I'm tired, it's, like, Thursday, I just came home from school, fuck it, this is good TV.
This is the ultimate mashup.
Ultimate mashup. Looking back, oh, what a dumb idea. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's safe to say we love the turtles.
Yes.
Hopefully more turtles coming in the future, too. Because I know there's, like, new cartoons coming out. They've been talking about, like, a live-action movie by Platinum Dunes sometime, so.
Yeah, a live-action movie would do something justice. I mean, the first two movies were okay. Then the third movie came out and shat on everything for a while. That was, like, the dark period where all I think of surviving was, like, the Archie comics series, and then that died out eventually, and then blank. Then it came back, which that's good. I even played like the really bad Turtle games.
Oh God, yeah, I remember that.
From the 2005 series, and
we were trying to unlock the arcade game, and then we unlocked the arcade game, and the arcade game was a horrible port of it.
Yep, that was it.
God, that was so disappointing.
Even, I don't know, I like the second version, the second game in the new, current generation or something, Turtles series. That was actually pretty fun. It was like a gauntlet style kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third one was awful. The one we played, that was the third game. And that was just like, alright, so there's one button attacks, there's one button dashes, and that's it. Like, there's no, blocking, really. There's no specials. And if you die, we all die. Here we go. Like, it was such a bad, bad game. But it was good, because it covered all the arcs from the show up until, like, the midpoint season. So, like, if you didn't watch the show, you could play the game, and it was actually, like, really, like, close to it. I mean, I've played a lot of, like, movie, like, TV show games, and, like, this is pretty much one of the best, like, storytelling-wise. But awful gameplay. Like, it just, headache inducing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it took me like 3 years to beat it.
You know, the good thing about that 2005 cartoon was, like, it actually, like, stuck pretty close to the comics for a while.
Yeah.
Trying to kill Shredder part, and then, like, or, like, at least defeat Shredder, and then, like, they actually went to, like, the Triceratops world and stuff, and there's a bunch of, like, comic stuff that if you read the comics, you could, like, oh, this was in the comics, and now it's on the show.
I like the part where they made the alternative versions of themselves and stuff. Like, in a weird world, they transformed into. They went to this universe where Master Splinter was a turtle, and the turtles were rats. That was a funny episode.
That was in, like, Turtles Forever, though. If you remember, like, when Shredder, like, hooks all the turtles up to, like, that giant centrifuge or whatever, trying to find Earth Turtle Prime. And you get to see like all the crazy like turtle universes.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them were like they're a female. Some like they were really quick images.
Samurai one. There's like they're robots or something.
Well, the samurai one was the Japanese version, Teenage Mutant Turtles. I didn't remember watch those. That's like the one series I'm like I don't know of, and I kind of want to watch them, but I kind of don't.
Live action turtles were on there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we've exhausted pretty much everything turtle related.
Well, we didn't get to fruit snacks, cereal, instant pasta, skateboards.
You should probably let me write an article about that, Chris.
Maybe just like all the turtle apparel stuff.
Like top five greatest turtle related merchandise or something.
Besides pizza, like I remember that's the one thing they were so good at pitching was just pizza. I didn't care who it was from, like frozen fresh, like from down the street. I don't care. That show every time I watched it, I was like, oh, I gotta get pizza. I don't know. I'll think about it.
So yeah, I think that's gonna do it. We've been talking for what, 3 hours?
About
maybe 2.5. I don't know, but it's another epic podcast. But it's the 50th episode, so. And once you get started about turtles, like it's hard to stop. It's like a morning with Power Rangers talk, Chris.
Yeah, except I need more people because it's just me ranting. It's hard, especially when that subject pops up and it's like, oh my god, my brain's is short circuiting.
So if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. A new article, at least one new article up every day. Hopefully more articles from Chris and his crazy, like, telling you what kids' movies actually meant and stuff. I think Joe mentioned he wanted to write some articles, so, yeah, definitely check out everythingaction.com for every day for some new stuff. If you can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com, searching for Everything Action. You can join our group, and on the group you can see the news stories as they go up. You can comment on those news stories. You can link stories of your own if you want, and you can chat with us if we're on and stuff, so definitely check that out. Twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account for Everything Action. Joe runs that. He retweets a bunch of cool movie-related news stories, and sometimes he live blogs movies he's watching, retweets what we say, so leaves witty comments. Definitely check that out on Twitter. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. And you can find us on iTunes by going to iTunes Music Store and searching for Everything Action. You can subscribe on there, rate us, leave comments, get the latest episodes of the podcast. Also on there is our app you can download, which you can it's for free. Get the last 20 news stories and also listen to the podcast on there. So for Joe and Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.